Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here live tonight. Good to be with you. All right. Welcome, everyone. Good to be here. As you know, Wednesday nights, we don't do talking. We just, like we last talked last night, we get people on the phone, we talk and yak and do whatever. You never know what's going to happen. And sometimes we may talk for 30 minutes to an hour. Sometimes 5 minutes, you know, right? Yeah, Monday, Tuesday. But Wednesday's a show that we do only prophesying. We don't really talk. We call your number and ask for your first name, what state you're from, even if I know who you are. I need you to do that for me if you would. Just say what your first name, what state you're from, tell me. And then I mute you, prophesy over you, pray over you, whatever. And then go to the next call and do the same thing. Call up the number, get your first name, what state you're from, and mute you, prophesy, and go to the next person. That way we make sure we get everybody on Wednesday night. That's what we love about Wednesday, is that we don't miss anyone. Some of you sit there on Tuesdays and Mondays, and, you know, sometimes we might get to you, we might not. It just depends on what's going on. But that's why Wednesdays we do this, so that way we get you. We love prophesying and praying over everyone, and we're so grateful. God has given us the grace to be able to do that, and we love it, by the way. So, yeah, get a hold of some of that, and we will be praying for you tonight. That's what we're going to do tonight. All right. What we're going to do tonight. All right. Tonight. What it is. Yeah. All right. I like it. Yes. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We just give you the glory, Lamb of God. You are the precious Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. Who is like you? Ain't nobody like Jesus. Ain't nobody like Jesus. It's called Pentecost song. I can't remember how it goes. But makes me want to sing it, though, that's for sure. Ain't nobody like you, Jesus. Somebody's got to send me what the name of that is so I can go find it. I might want to sing it or something. I try to sing it, I should say. Yeah. All right. We are here tonight, and we want to really minister to you and pray for you. And this is our special night where we do that. To every person who calls in, if you can stay on long enough. Some people learn to call in, you know, at 10:30, 11, and that way they don't sit there so long. But that's what's going on. All right, so get ready. We're going to do that here in just a moment. All right, so tonight, you know, last night we talked about all kinds of things. I don't remember everything we talked about. It was a lot. But the end times, Book of Revelation, we talked about Spirit Man does when you mess up something, when you go the wrong direction, how your spirit man will automatically just get grieved and take away your peace, right? He takes away your peace. Yeah, your peace is gone. Why? Because your spirit man knows you're out of the will of God. Your spirit man knows you're going the wrong direction, right? That's kind of something I've never heard a whole lot about, but I've been praying over for a long time, and something God's really showing me, so yeah, you might have to get used to that because we'll talk about that a lot. All right. I can might talk about that just for a moment in case you missed some of that last night. I've been talking to Jayla. I believe it was then. So I was trying to explain to her, you know, how that we lose our peace. Okay. All right. So there you go. We're really in there. We're good. And we are ready to pray blessings. There's a lot of things that I want to share with you about. I talk about them sometimes 2 or 3 times a week sometimes, if I feel like I need to. Because something new is something you need to hear over and over again. It may get a little old. But I think Jesus did that in a lot of different ways because he knew that his guys would remember it if they were told the same thing in maybe many different forms with many different kinds of, with different kinds of parables saying the same thing, basically. Because, you know, he knows that, we're human beings. Our mind, he knows how the mind works. The mind has to have a plant of a seed planted, the plant of a seed planted inside you. There you go. And then it takes a little bit for that thing to grow up, right? It can be planted inside you. The seed could be down in your gut. It may not be on, shallow soil or whatever soil. It may be really in good soil. But, you know, as you've ever planted anything, you know that you have to have, you know, the soil, good soil. You have to plant it down good, not too deep, but deep enough. And pretty soon, you know, it takes a few days, but it starts to sprout out, right? Yeah. So the seed has to kind of like die, basically, and rot. And God has designed the seed where what's on the inside of it, but it is created to be, just starts growing, pops up and starts growing. And same thing with understanding things. Same thing with God speaking things to us. He knows that even though the seed is planted in good ground meaning honest ground, that you're honest with yourself, you're not living in some fantasy world all the time. Once in a while, fantasy world, whatever that. All the time, fantasy world is not good. All right? And so the more we live in reality and live in the spirit. But I'm not suggesting that we live in reality all the time. It's going to sound a little funny, but I'm going to tell you what I think. Hang on a second here. Because reality, you know, may not be good for you. Reality may be, man, I got an abusive situation going on here. I may be, you know, lost my job. Can't seem to get a job. I seem to be in a slump. I can't seem to get out of it. I'm locked into this place that I can't get out of spiritually. What is wrong here? So I'm not saying that we need to stay in our reality, because if your reality is not a God reality, if it's not the will of God reality, then your reality is not what it's supposed to be, right? So I'm not saying we face up to our realities as far as, you know, just living in it and being happy with it, but we learn how to, you know, change it. So if your reality needs to change, if you have some areas of your life that are really good reality, it's a God thing, then you have other areas that are barren and dry and messed up. Maybe you have trouble being happy or, you know, can't seem to find your footing on, you know, what your calling is or what's going on. You know, fellowship with God is the answer to all of it. Just loving Jesus. That's why worship is so amazing. Worshiping Jesus, loving Jesus, you know, singing songs to him, just loving him, you know. And then let him love you back. Yeah. And sometimes we have to let him love us first before we can even love him. You know, I mean, we like him for sure. We love him in a sense, but as far as feeling that passion of love, sometimes we have to let him love us first. The Bible says he loved us first. That's why we love, the Bible says, 1 John. The reason we love is because he first loved us, right? So when you let him love you, once you do that, you know, then you can love. You know, so but whatever your reality is, it may not be good. So I don't want you to live in your reality going, no, this is the way it's going to be. No, if your reality is not a God reality, then, you know, the way to do that is to plant a seed. Well, when you plant a seed, a seed doesn't just pop up in the next minute. You're all fixed up and done, right? It takes time for that to grow inside you. And when the first, even when the seed breaks through, planted in good soil, right, on an honest heart, it's planted good. It's watered. It starts sprouting out, that little green thing. It pops out of the ground going, yeehaw, here we are. And it starts entering into that realm of living from the sun, living from the nutrients in the ground. Because, you know, it doesn't just live from the nutrients in the ground, right? You know that. You ever tried growing a plant without any sun? It don't work too well. If you had a lot of trees and the trees are blocking off the sun from your grass is probably going to get really weak. Because just nutrients from the earth alone are not enough for you to grow. You need the sun, right? You need the sun. You need that shining light of the sun. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Just let it shine. Soak up those rays, right? And so, you know, like you say, you can have a lot of good nutrients in the ground, get a fertilizer, get a good ground, good dirt, good grass, good water, but no sun. Let me say, if we ever lose the sun, friend, when the sun ever goes away for a while, and I think the book of Revelation, that's going to happen. Talk about that last night a little bit. That's not going to be good, because when the sun don't shine, it don't matter how much water you got, how much fertilizer you got, or whatever. The sun, the things just do not grow without the sun. When you start thinking about that, and, you know, you may have good seed planted in your life. You may be in a good place that you got a lot of good word, but if you're not getting that fellowship with the Son of God and letting him shine down on you and smile down on you and just soaking up the rays of his love, you're not going to grow. Yeah, you're going to be, oh, I got good ground, right? Yeah, you do. You got good seed. Yeah, you do. You got good grass. You got good, you know, good whatever, but good roots, but no sun. But at the same time, also, a seed has to have, you know, nutrients too. It has to have ground to grow out of, for the most part. It can grow out of water too, but it's better. It's made to grow in the dirt. So when you start seeing both sides of that, you start realizing that good dirt, good soil, good seed, the Word of God in you is wonderful. But if you're not having growth, it's because you're not getting out in the sun. Yeah, start worshiping Jesus and let the love of God just shine down on you and let him just love you, friend. Let him love you. Woo! Love, love, love. All we need is love. And I'm telling you, friend, that ain't all we need, because we do need the nutrients. We do need the dirt. We do need the seed. But you, like I said, I'm sure you're familiar with it. Most of you may have never thought about it. I don't know. But, like, I've seen a lot of houses that had beautiful big trees, and the trees are just amazing, and they're all over the place. And you look down there, and the grass. Now, there is grass you can grow that has less sunshine. That is true. But for the most part, it's very difficult to grow anything without the sun. And the grass would just be, like, messed up. And so they had to find either cut some of the tree limbs to let the sun shine through. Sometimes that's what we got to do in our life. I mean, we got to find a way to get into the sun and just let him love you. You know, the sun is way up in the sky. It's flaming hot. You get too close to the sun, it'll burn you up, right? So God knew just about what distance to put the sun from the earth. So when it shined on the earth in a normal season, life, it feeds and nurtures. But friend, I'm telling you right now, just open up your hands, open up your heart, just say, Jesus, oh Lord, shine down on me with your love. Shine down on me with your love, oh Lord. Shine down on me with your love, oh Lord. Shine down on me. Shine down on me, shine down on me, oh Lord, my God. Let your love shine on me, Lord. I drink it in. Oh, yes, I drink it in, oh Lord. Your love is so beautiful. It's like the sun. It's flaming hot. Burning, flaming in my heart with love. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear, and let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. And I exalt thee, I exalt thee, I exalt thee, O Lord, for thou, O Lord, our God, art high above the earth. Thou art exalted high above all things. For thou, O Lord, my God, you are beautiful, beautiful. Beside you there is no other God. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. Let your sun shine down on our good, growing plants of our life, the Word of God that's planted in His own Holy Spirit. Shine. Give us that vitamin D. Oh, hallelujah. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be, Jesus. Shine down on us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And there's something about, you know, when you get born again, your spirit man is the only part of you, your triune, just like God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Spirit, soul, and body, your spirit, soul, and body. And when you get born again, you go from your spirit man being in darkness, according to Ephesians 2, being a child of disobedience and of darkness, really a child of the devil. Though you may be a nice person, and there's some really nice lost people that don't know Jesus. I mean, they're really nice, but it's hard to think that they're a child of the devil. The sweetest thing that you can is, but if you're not born again, that's what you are. Sad as that is. And if you died in that state, you would spend eternity in hell. That is sad. That is sad. So sad. But when you get born again, what the only part of you that becomes totally a whole new creation, behold, a new creation. I make all things new. And your spirit man, thing about your spirit man becomes brand new through and through. It's the only part of you that that happens to. Behold, all things become new in your spirit man. Your soul, you know that when you got saved, your soul, your mind, it had memories, bad memories, you know, really some really, really bad memories. Just memories of your life that weren't good. Some of your memories of life were good. You had good memories, bad memories. That didn't pass away. That part of you did not pass away. But in your spirit man, it's the only part of you that became totally created in the very image and likeness of Jesus. And then once your spirit man was recreated in the very image of Christ, Romans 8, was seated, even though it's still inside you, your spirit man says he was resurrected and raised up. In other words, spiritually raised up to a high level of quality of life and seated with Christ in heavenly places. Yeah, seated with him in heavenly places. You cannot be seated with Christ. Christ is in the glory realm. He's in the heavens. He's at the right hand of the Father, seated at the right hand of the Father. And you are seated with him in your spirit man. Your soul is not. Your soul is, you know, been cleansed and washed of sin, but now we learn to apply the blood to our, and the renewal of our mind by the Word of God, through the blood and through the Word and through the water of the Word. Part of you is being renewed, hopefully, day by day, right? But your spirit man doesn't need to be renewed. He's totally recreated in image and likeness. I'm not saying your spirit man doesn't need to be, you know, exercise your spirit man to learn how, you know, so he can become stronger and stronger. But your spirit man does not sin. That's why the Bible says in 1 John, it says, he that sinneth is of the devil. And people try to say, oh, that's because it's saying if you practice sin. If you practice sin, you're of the devil. Well, I don't know about you, but I know some Christians and maybe some of you and some of me in my life at times. I practiced sin as a Christian. Now, it wasn't like adultery and lying and cheating and stealing anymore. Yeah, not that. But there's other things, you know, that you've seen sin in. So was I of the devil? No, I wasn't of the devil. I was of God. He's talking about, he said, he that sinneth is of the devil. But it says, he that, when you're born again, you do not sin. He that sinneth is of the devil. But he that is born again does not sin. So does that mean we don't sin? Of course we sin. He's talking about our spirit man who's been seated with Christ in heavenly places. The reason he's been seated with Christ, because just like Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve were created perfect and beautiful in their spirit, soul, and body, right? Y'all know about this. Their spirit, soul, and body was holy. Before they sinned, their spirit man was pure. Their soul was pure. It hardly had any memories. It was just been created, and they were created as about 30 years old or something like that. Now, they weren't babies. They were created, you know, mature human beings, right? And so they, spirit, soul, and body, they were perfect. So what happened is when they sinned, their spirit man, as well as their soul and their body, all three parts of them became sin, and they got cast out of the garden. So after that, a long story short, after that, God knew that when he gets us, when Christ died on the cross and paid the price so that the Holy Spirit could come and birth us, he knew that when we got born again, that we would still have sin issues because of, you know, about us, right? Yeah. Because when you get born again, you don't get the glory realm, spirit, soul, and body. The only place you get the spirit realm, glory realm, is in your spirit man, because he gets totally recreated and is seated with Christ in heavenly places. Never to sin again. He that sinneth is of the devil. What is he talking about? He's talking about your spirit man. And he that is born again does not sin. What's he saying? It sounds so contradictive until you understand what's happening. And is seated with Christ in heavenly places, never to sin again. Now, your soul sins, your body, you know, your body, but your spirit man never sins again, never. It cannot sin. What happened? How did that happen? Because God knew that when we got born again, that we would defile our spirit man again. If he didn't seat it with Christ in heavenly places, we would do just like Adam and Eve did all over again. And our spirit, not just our soul, would be defiled, which we do that now, and our body be defiled, which we do that now when we sin. But our spirit man would have been defiled. And he knew once your spirit man became defiled again, he knew that it was going to cause a problem. So he fixed it to where he, as soon as you got born again, immediately the Holy Spirit raised you up and seated you in a high-level realm of purity and of righteousness and holiness in the very image of Christ Jesus. Your spirit man, that's what your spirit man is. And he's seated with Christ, never to sin, not ever. Now, does that mean that we don't sin? And also, the Bible turns around 1 John and says, but he that sinneth, he that says he has no sin is a liar. Right? That's what it says. He that says he has no sin is a liar. So what's he saying? He's saying born-again people sin. Well, what he's trying to differentiate is that your spirit man does not sin. It's sealed. It's seated. It cannot even come to this realm. See, your spirit man was caught up to a realm of glory, seated with Christ, where there is no sin and there is no temptation of sin in that place. There's no temptation to sin in the spirit realm, seated with Christ. There's no temptation up there, friend. None. I say up there. It's in your body, but he's been, if you will, the quality of your spirit man was totally recreated in the image of Jesus. So the quality of your spirit man is raised up high. It's the highest quality that you could ever have and ever will have. That's the part of you that is pure and holy. And God made it when he seated you in Christ in heavenly place. He made it where your spirit man would never sin again. That's why it says, he that is born again sinneth not. Read it in 1 John. I know I don't have the scripture ready because I did not really plan on talking about this tonight, but it needs to be talked about because people need to understand this. It took a while for God to show me this stuff. But, so, and then the other 1 John, says, in the same chapter, it says, oh, but he that saith he hath no sin is of the devil. So that's extremely confusing. Unless you understand, he's talking about your soul. Your soul still needs to be renewed. Your soul could not be totally dumped out of all your memories. God could not totally just wipe away all your memories, which have a lot of sinful memories, a lot of, you know, nice memories too, but sinful memories. You know, for the first time you sinned and you knew you sinned, that memory stuck in there. The first time somebody hurt you, wounded you, and you have that's stuck in you. That memory stuck in you. He could not just do away with that because you wouldn't even know who you were, because who you are is what you've been raised to be, except the only difference is now is you have a new part of you, a brand new part of you that's totally brand new, that is totally pure, totally beautiful, and has no memory of the past. Because your spirit man doesn't, it's not like your soul. It doesn't have a memory like in the same way. A whole different part of you. Your soul has your past, right? It has everything in there, every memory, everything. Everything's in there. So what happens, we get born again, our spirit man gets seated with Christ in heavenly places, high quality realm your spirit man is now. Now your soul, we start working on that. We start, Romans 12 talks about renewing your soul, renewing your mind. So we understand that our mind, our soul, mind, will have to be renewed. We have to bring that to God and say, God, I forgive my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, my coach, my whoever they are, my best friend who betrayed me. I forgive them because I remember that and it's painful. So God, I bring that to you. And then the process of your salvation, you know, with fear and trembling, you come with fear and trembling before God, and your salvation in your soul. The Bible says in James, it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Where? And your spirit man doesn't need the engrafted word. It is the engrafted word in a sense. It's your soul that needs the engrafted word for the saving of your soul. That doesn't mean you get saved every time you get an engrafting, but it means it comes in and it saves you or it redeems you or it renews that memory. You get forgiveness and you go to that person, you say, I forgive you. Forgive me for being bitter toward you all these years. Forgive me. I forgive you. And that memory gets cleansed, and that part of your soul, which has many dimensions to it, many houses, many dwelling places, many different areas, depending on how old you are. The more older you are, the more dwelling places there are to deal with, right? So you go back and so you can start going from room to room, if you will, and you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, the salvation of your soul. You're already born again. That'll never stop or hinder or be changed. Once you're truly born again, if you're not truly born again, that's a different thing. But your soul begins to be saved by the renewal of the mind and by the engrafting of the Word of God. James chapter 5, I think, chapter 2, says that. I didn't come prepared for this, though. But I know the scripture, I know the Word. Look at it for yourself. And so that's what it talks about. And it says that. So what's happening? Your spirit man doesn't need any renewal. Because he doesn't say renew your spirit. He says renew your soul, renew your mind, because that's where your memories are, where you have to little by little, along with God, take each memory of which has made you who you are and change who you are in your soul by saying, God, this bitterness has made me a bad person. Forgive me for my bad person that I've been. I forgive my enemy or whoever it is, that person hurt me, I forgive them, wash me and cleanse me. And then you change into a new person toward those people that hurt you. You forgive them, and then your memory, then you start quitting acting like a bitter person anymore. You start acting like a sweet person around, especially around those people, because you've forgiven them. So that part of you is renewed. So each
part of your life, by the grace of God, begins to be renewed little by little as you give it to him. And as God chooses to deal with it, you bring it to him and you say, God, you know, forgive me for that that sin that I did. And ever since I sinned that sin, I keep sinning that sin, and I can't quit doing that sin. And I'm sorry. I don't want to do that anymore. Can you please help me? My soul, my memories, I can't seem to get rid of that. Can you? So we take communion. We ask God to help us. And little by little, he renews from room to room in our memories, in our mind. And our mind has a lot of different rooms in it, lots of them. It's like a big house. Go from room to room. And each time that area of your life, you get forgiveness of that sin, you get the word of God in there, engrafted in that area, and you quit lusting or you quit having pride, you quit, having whatever the thing is, being resentful and ugly, you quit doing that. Right? Why? Because you're working with God in that. Your spirit man doesn't need any of that. Your soul does. And little by little, you become renewed in your soul. And you work with God. Therefore, he doesn't just totally, when you get born again, he doesn't just totally wipe out every bad memory. Every memory you have, with him little by little to change those things. And that's why it works in your mind. That's why it works. That's why you're able that's just the way God designed it. Because if you did that in your mind, and you try to change it, all of a sudden your mind was like completely, totally changed. It's like you wouldn't even know who you were. You would not know who you were. Who you are is for the most part is because of what has happened to you in your life. You understand that? Does that make sense? Yeah. So this is really, like I said, I'm not a teacher. I'm a revelator. But these are things that I've learned. And then, of course, when your soul begins to change, and you go from room to room, some rooms are harder, are more dirty than others. Some rooms you go in your life that you might have had a bondage. You might have been molested as a child, and you might have been molested for 10 years, or you might have been molested for a week. You might have, it depends on how dirty that room is and how messed up it is, how you go in there, and it's hard to go in there. It's hard to deal with that. But if you go in and God, the Holy Spirit goes with you, the Word of God begins to save you from that hurtful, destructive thing, which you can't even have a relationship with your husband or your wife because of the abuse you had. So it messes up your life, even though you're a Christian. Your sex life cannot be free and loving and giving and wonderful and beautiful because it was messed up with you when you were a child. So you go into that room that's really, really messed up, depending on how many years things went on, how the damage that was done, and the Word of God is engrafted in that area. You begin to forgive and love and understand that it wasn't your fault. Blame them for this. You start getting free from condemnation and self-hatred and all those things, and that room begins to be cleaned up, and the Word of God saves you. Jesus is the Word, because you have to remember, Jesus is the Word. So when it says the Word saves you, it means Jesus is coming in to save you, right? When you receive the Word of God and you say, God, my mama, my daddy, my cousin molested me when I was a child and did it for 5 years, for 3 weeks, for whatever, 10 years, whatever went on, God, I forgive them. I want to love them. I want to love myself. I want to quit condemning myself. I want to quit blaming myself for something I had nothing to do with. I want to take accountability for what I've done wrong. And you start working with that area, and it gets all cleaned up and shiny, and the lights get turned back on, and then your sex life becomes beautiful and loving and freely and happy and beautiful. And it's a beautiful thing because you get that area of your life cleaned up. You get all the pornography, all the stuff that damage that caused you, the perversions, the things that caused you to do the things you did. You have to realize Jesus does not condemn you for that anymore. You are born again. He's now coming to save you, man. He's coming to save you, girlfriend, brother. He's coming to help you. I tell you, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It does not matter what you've done. If you've gotten forgiven of your sins, how dare anybody hold that against you, right? How dare anybody do it? If Jesus forgives you, friend, you got to remember, when Jesus forgives you, you are forgiven. When he blesses you and says it's wiped away, it's wiped away. All right? All right. So, all right, we're going to stop now. We're going to start ministering to people. So we kind of like to touch on that stuff. I did not plan on getting into that, or I would have had scriptures ready, right? Yeah, I know where the scriptures are, but chapter and verse, maybe do a little labor with God
on your own over there, and go to the general scriptures I give you and look them up in the drawer right there, and they all say exactly what I said they say. You just have to look at them, right? Yeah, there you go. All right, so we're here to help you, here to help you grow. We're here to help you understand God, God's ways. Maybe you've been taught a whole different thing. Maybe you're going like, Randy, that's not right. My pastor taught me something else. Well, ask God to show you. We're not forcing anything down anybody's throat. Just ask God. God, is that right? Is anything he's saying right? If it is, I want it. If it's not, I don't want it. You know? You don't have to receive it. You don't have to. We're not trying to cram it down your throat. And I think most people know that. But we have things that we teach that are a little bit different than what people think. And so, yeah. So, there you go. Okay, my first caller tonight that I will call on will be 469. All right. My second caller, 202. Third, 7769220. The next caller, 325280. Next caller, 614432. Next caller, 610. Next caller, 754240. The next caller, 863268. The next caller, 972695. The next caller, 919426. The next caller, 903808. The next caller, 847505. The next caller, 240482. The next caller, 936628. 720819. 915318 after that, 803991 after that, 804218 after that, 903253 after that, 404453 after that, 509492 after that, 214938 after that, 720682. All right, and then other people, of course, call in. Some people call in about 11, 10:30, and that way they don't have to wait as long. All right, because the time zones are different. So we welcome all of you wherever you're at, or whatever time zone you're in. Thank you for being with us. We're just glad we can be here to love and minister, love Jesus, let Jesus love us, and love God's people, love each other, and minister the word of God. All right? Okay, so if you have a special request, do it really quick, all right, because we don't want to talk. We want to get real quick, just give it names. You know, my cousin Billy and John, and say it real clear so I can hear it, please. Other than that, all right, no talking tonight. All right? You got special prayer requests. You can also text a special prayer request to me at 214-58719. You can do that. All right? Okay, let's take the first caller tonight. All right. Wait a minute. Let's see. And also, Sandra, what number are you, Sandra? Whoops, I didn't mean that. Sorry. Sandra, what number are you? Are you 912 or are you 9? Because I think I'm... Okay. 912, right? Isn't that your number, 912? Yeah, 912, okay. I don't know where 912 went to. All right, 912. I don't even know. Oh, there you are right there. Okay, 912. Okay, gotcha. I see you. All right, 912, we will take you second. Okay, thank you for that special prayer request, Nikki. I will do that. Please remind me when I call your name that I got a text from you on that, and I will go to the text and read the information. Okay. So, Fondra, you will be second. And please don't let me forget that because I get going sometimes. You know how I am. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. 9. Hang on a second. All right. Here we go. All right. 469-396. Am I talking to you? Where are you from, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Garrett and Candace from Texas. Just had a prayer request for job direction.
Job direction. Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you. All right. Thanks for calling in. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Garrett and Candace from Texas. Thank you, Lord, for job direction with them. God, we thank you I see you breaking up the ground, breaking the ground up, the ground being broken up, whatever that is, the ground being broken. I guess that could be different things. It could be literally breaking up the ground, or it could be God's you're going to break new ground. I see the ground being broken up, whatever that is. I don't know what that is. But we thank you, Lord, for Garrett. God, I thank you for Garrett for guiding him and leading him, Lord. You're taking him to new territory that he's never been in before. We thank you for that. We thank you for the glory of God in his life. And we thank you for actually opening him up to new things, God, and to like a new way. So in Jesus' name, you know, even though you could do the same job you've always done, but do a different part in it. Like you can be doing a certain job and you've been the janitor and now you're going to be the engineer. You know, you can be, the teacher of a school and be still teach at a school, be a principal. You see what I'm saying? So it could be, I don't know what that breaking new ground is, but thank you, Lord, for that. And thank you, Lord, for blessing them, God. I thank you for your glory that you're going to, your glory that rests upon them, Father. I declare and decree the glory of God on them in the name of Jesus. I see a download of the Holy Ghost. I see the light of God, like moving into your spirit. Maybe both of you. I kind of see with both of you happening there. The download of the light of God. It's like all of a sudden something dawning on you. Like, wow, this is it. Yeah, wow, this is new. This is the new thing. And when Jesus opened up people's eyes. I mean, Jesus would be standing on the road to Emmaus. He stood right in front of them. He was the Messiah and died and rose again from the dead. They didn't know it was him. They didn't recognize him. They sat there saying, talking about Jesus to Jesus, saying, oh, Jesus, he said, they were talking to, you don't know about what happened to the Messiah? And they're talking to him, right? They didn't even recognize him until he broke bread with them, opened their eyes. And then the light of God's glory shined, and all of a sudden, you know, they knew it was Jesus. They were talking to Jesus the whole time. Yeah, and he was just acting like, you know, it wasn't him. I don't know why. That's kind of funny. But I thank you, Lord, for that knowledge of the glory of God, that God, you suddenly just like opened their eyes, God, in the name of Jesus. Because sometimes when God opens our eyes, then it becomes a progressive thing of opening it up. You know, so I see you thinking in a whole different way about what you do, what your life is, and what your purpose is. In Jesus' name, and the breaking of ground. I don't know if that's literal of what that is, but in Jesus' name, open that up, Father. Give Candace the grace, God, and the wisdom to be that Proverbs woman. Yeah, the Proverbs woman. And in Jesus' name, to be it, because she was, it looked like, I can't remember what it said about her, but it looked like she was a businessman. Or businessman. She was a businesswoman, not a businessman. Sorry about that. A businesswoman who could sew and do all kinds of things. And that multifaceted thing with her, God, that you're opening it up for her, God, that she could do multifaceted things and become a deliverer and a supporter and God, blessed in the realm of even, you know, bringing in money and taking care of business and that business mantle in her life, God, to increase that and multiply that so she can prosper and help prosper the family in Jesus' name. As Candace, as Garrett increases and multiplies in the wisdom of God to break new ground, break up the ground, break new ground. And, in Jesus' name, I break all the fears off of, you know, when you go into a new thing, whatever that new thing is, like I said, it could be the same kind of job, but at a new position in it or something. You know, so I don't know what new means exactly, but we've got to understand that. So, and thank you, Jesus, for opening it up for him. In Jesus' name, teaching him how to manage things and to be a manager. Amen. Overseer. All right, 202-722. I'm going to talk to you real quickly.
Hi, Randy. It's Nicole, and I'm from Washington, D.C.
All right, Nicole. Nicole was on with us last night. She's been teaching on the Book of Revelation. Kind of a cool thing, you know. She's been studying the Book of Revelation for like a year. I did not know that. And I asked her about what's going on. She said, yeah, I've been studying the Book of Revelation for about a year. And so, you know, she's doing a show on Sundays at noon and teaching people, you know, how to look at the Book of Revelation. Because, you know, the Book of Revelation, it's blessed to read it, right? But when I read it, you know, it's cool, man, but I don't know if I'm blessed or not because I get messed up on some of it trying to figure it out. Right, so until God shows you stuff, you don't know. So teach you the way to look at it, so you don't get confused. It's good, and that's what she's doing in the Book of Revelation on Sundays. And if you need to know a reminder on that, you're not on our text alert, then get a hold of me at 214-505-8719 and text me, and let me know that
you know, you want to be on our alert, and I'll remind you about that so you don't forget. All right? That way you can know any show that's on. We have several shows all during the week. It's really cool. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Nicole. And thank you, Jesus, for the new assistant. A new assistant? A new assistant? Are you – there's something about a new assistant? A new assistant? A new assistant. Whatever that is, new assistant. Thank you, God, for that new assistance in her life. I guess, you know, I don't know, someone coming alongside to assist you or something. I'm not sure what that is. Beside you, and, you know, we all need that in certain ways. You know, we can have family members or husband or wife or children, but, you know, sometimes God brings us a person in our life that can walk alongside us, you know, to, you know, fellowship and that kind of thing. I thank you, Lord, for opening it up and developing that in Jesus' name to assist, right? Assist people who assist, don't take over what we do. They assist us. They assist us. So whatever that is, God, bring that in Jesus' name. Amen. And bless her, God, and call it, increase her visibility and open up that thing in her where the teacher in her can not only teach but revelate, you know, as you give to her, Jesus, and to open up people's eyes, be able to read the book of all books, the book of Revelation, just begin to know how to understand it so that it makes sense. And then, therefore, people be blessed. And he's going to reward her for that, God. Endeavor in Jesus' name. Big endeavor. All right. Thank you for that, Nicole. All right. 769-220. Who am I talking to you, Ruth, please? Oh, wait a minute. No, hang on a second. See, I got going and I forgot. I totally forgot. All right. Let me make sure I'm hearing the right thing. Yes, okay. All right, 912-318. Who am I talking to you, Ruth, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Sandra calling from Georgia.
Hi, Sandra. All right. Good to have you tonight. All right. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Lord, for Sandra, God. I thank you for that manipulation thing of, you know, the enemy trying to mess with. And because manipulation has to do with when the enemy comes in, even sometimes through people, and tries to force a situation, tries to make something happen other than the will of God. Manipulation does one thing. People are always aware that they're doing it, but they try to, the basic element of it, the basic strategy is that the enemy tries to get us away from doing the will of God into another situation. So I don't know who you're praying for or what's going on, what this is surrounded about, but I see God breaking that off where, you know, manipulation isn't always as evil as we make it. Sometimes manipulation can be something that somebody's innocently doing and don't even know they're doing it, right? So it's not like a demonic know what they're doing, they're evil, bad people, but I see God breaking that off and bringing that thing where it opens up. I don't know, somebody you're praying for or what this is, but it opens up where it's not always a battle to find the will of God. You know, the Bible says, Sandra, that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so when God comes in, seeking God should be easy. But we're in a world that is trying to manipulate us. Satan is always through the world, everything in the world, TV, radio, news, all the different things, all the bad TV and radio. There's a lot of good TV and radio news, but the bad and the people there that are just innocently many times trying to get us to do something other than what the will of God is, so it's not always schemed and done on purpose, but sometimes it's done very innocently because the world itself is against the will of God. The world itself and the system of the world is everything but God's will, everything and anything, but just not God's will. And so I see God using you to release and counter that in the people around you, in situations in your life where people, where things are happening, where it makes it a battle. People say, oh, man, it's so hard to serve God because I never can. Yeah, because that manipulation, that spirit of manipulation comes from the spirit of the world and from the devil and from people who don't know what they're doing. They're not born again. They're not walking the will of God. So what do? They influence you against the will of God, even though they don't even know they're doing it. So I see God really giving you wisdom on how to direction. Give them direct I see you giving direct orders in the spirit realm, direct orders, and commanding and speaking forth that spirit of manipulation be broken off, and that their feet walk in the path of the Lord. Amen. The yoke is easy and the burden is light. It's not some big heavy thing, right? So I see God breaking that off in the spirit of freedom, ruling and reigning. Yeah, where money and things about money and situations where the world's always trying to get us to do things with money their way, to manipulate us so that we don't get the full blessing of God. Financial blessing, and yielding to that spirit of what God is saying to do, and when we do that, we enter into the kingdom of God, influenced by the Spirit of God, and I see God as an anointing on your life to not only work that in your life, but to work it for others, to get them to where it's not so hard, you know, it's so difficult, right, and to unlocking them in Jesus' name, where that manipulation control thing gets broken off of them, right, and totally turned. I see that like a metal band around somebody's mind, and that metal band being broken off, and their mind going like, oh wow, what have I been doing? Like that metal band. I've seen it happen. I pray for a lady in I think it was somewhere in Texas many many years ago. Yeah. And prayed over her. She had migraine headaches, and prayed over her, and nothing happened, right? And the Lord said, you didn't do the right thing. I'm like, what? He said, he showed me it was a mind-bending spirit, mind-bending. In other words, manipulation, you know, control of the mind. He said, it's a mind-bending spirit, a band wrapped around her mind, right? So in Jesus' name, I said, in Jesus' name, I break that mind-bending spirit off of you. As soon as I did that, boom, that it's like her head even seemed like it got a little bit bigger. Right, and she looked at me, and her eyes were bloodshot. That's why I knew the prayer I prayed before that didn't do any good because her eyes were still bloodshot. I said, "Are you okay?" And she wanted to say, "Yeah," but she goes, "Oh no, I'm still in pain." And after I prayed that mind bending spirit that broke off her mind that was controlling her and containing her brain, man, instantly her eyes went white. I mean, clear. And she says, "Yeah, man, whatever you, that thing, my God." And she didn't have a clue what it was. She was a sweet, nice person. I think a Catholic lady, I don't remember, I think she was safe, and just a beautiful person, but man, bones like that, just like that. And I don't know what I see there going, but I see some things happening there. Hallelujah. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Amen. All right. So, praise God. Wow. All right. 769, did I do the 769-220? Did I do you? 769-220, or, yeah, I think I tried to hit you a while ago. I'm sorry.
Hendrika, Georgia.
Hendrika?
Yes.
Hi, Hendrika. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for Hendrika, God. I thank you, Father, for that spirit of submission, God. That's submitted to God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee. And I thank you, Lord, for Hendrika's submissive spirit to you, Father. That when you're submitted to God. Hendrika, you know that when you're truly submitted, submission to God is probably the thing that most our battles, you know, our battles are. It's hard to break through when we're not submitted to God. And so the big thing that God's always trying to do is I think the major thing is to get people submitted to God. Because once they get submitted to God, once they get fat, then when they resist the devil, he flees. I mean, he flees. That's why it says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, he will flee. And so that you are there, you have been created as a submissive person to God. That God has made you like that. You are made like that. And so God has been developing that, working that, teaching you how to walk in that, because you can walk in submission to at a 10% level result. Or you can walk in the submission realm level with, you know, at, you know, 50% or 60% or 90%, whatever. And the higher level we walk in, the more authority is released to you because you're submitted to God. And resistance, when you resist something, it has to flee. It has time Jesus prayed, Enrico, you know that when he prayed, because he was submitted to the Father, he only did what he saw the Father. That was submission. When he was at the cross, I mean, he was like thinking really big. This is really, I'm fixing to have my flesh is going to be shredded from my back. I'm fixing to suffer. I don't mind suffering for God, but God, if this cup can pass from me. And yet he was so submissive, Enrico, that he said, not my will, but then he wasn't just acting like he was saying. I mean, his submissive spirit saying, God, you know, I could see 1,000 different things we could do, but, you know, I'm submitted to you. What do you want? You know, and even though the Father said, yeah, that ain't going to happen. Lord, Son, we're going to have to, you know, lay it down. And Jesus went, okay. Yeah, and three times. And that battle, Enrique, was so raging. It was a raging, roaring battle, more than the raging, roaring storms of the sea when Peter was distracted. That was a distraction that was roaring like no man had ever. It was the biggest hurricane battle that any person had ever been through. And Jesus kept his eyes on the Father. Oh, he kept his eyes on the Father. And therefore, God imparted to him the glory of God, and that submissive spirit about him yielded to the Father, and he went and did what he was called to do. Oh, my God. In other words, he didn't fail. And when he resisted, when Satan tempted him, and, you know, I don't know if you saw the movie, what was the name of the movie? Mel Gibson. Anyway, Mel Gibson's movie. Can't think of the name of it right now. But you know, when you saw, I don't know if you saw that or not, but when Jesus at Gethsemane, Mel Gibson did that so beautiful. He had this Satan tempting him, and then that serpent, that slimy snake coming down when he was at the garden. And when he said no to Satan, he crushed his head. Remember, did you see that? That was amazing. You know what the power of that was? Because of his submission to God. And therefore, the devil was resisted. He crushed his head with his heel. Yeah. And he won the victory. And, yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that, but I see you crushing the head of the enemy. I see that head because we can step on his tail. We can come up in little pieces. But there's something about crushing his head, going to the root of his thinking, of the thinking of the snake, of the serpent. It's always trying to, you know, Jesus was looking right. I think he was the best Christian we've ever had. He was Christianity. So Satan was coming against a Christian called Jesus. If he was, oh, the snake would never come against you. No, yeah. So his trickery and his wisdom is just, you know, beguiling. And I see you somehow breaking through and smashing his head and entering into a victory that cannot be turned around. Amen. Jesus, wow, that was a deep word. Woo! Hallelujah. That's crazy stuff. Whoa. All right, 325-280, who am I talking to real quickly?
Chris from Texas.
Chris, all right, Chris. Yes, thank you, Lord, for that. Wherever the soles of your feet tread, you know, I see, you know, oil dripping from your feet. I don't know what kind of oil it is. I don't know if that's anointing oil, what that oil is, but I see that oil dripping from your feet. I do know, you know, that you've had some oil things going on before, but right now, man, I mean, they're talking about drilling in, you know, in America again and getting, you know, I don't know if you've been watching the news or not, but I don't know. So something going on. I don't know if this is what that means. I'm not sure what it is exactly, but thank you, Jesus, for the power of that, that his ability to tread on holy ground, Father, and Jesus, where the soles of your feet tread, that you give him, God. And God's really going to show you, Chris, that the soles of your feet isn't just, you know, as you know, walking on the ground and claiming land or claiming ground or claiming something, but it is, you know, about what goes on, the soles of your feet, wherever the soles of your feet tread. In other words, what, you know, walking in the Spirit, and yet at the same time, your feet tread on places too and take territory. God has called you to take territory. He's called you to take back what belongs to him. It's like when we enter to the millennium, you know, it's really going to magnify at that time. The millennium is going to be a magnification of taking back the earth. And those who learn how to have developed that part of their calling and learn how what belongs to God, while before the millennium or before, you know, this goes on, it's like the parable where Jesus said the one talent, the 2 talents, and the 5 talents, and the 5 multiplied his to double to 10, 1 to 2 had 2, double 2 to 4, and the one had 1 hit his in fear, right? So the one hit his out of fear, you know, he didn't develop his. So the other ones he gave cities to, you know, okay, you've really done good, so now I'm going to give you cities, right? So the point with that was that those who learned how to, you know, work things, and that was a business thing, it was a blessing thing and a business thing, that the anointing and the ability to, because it says that he gave to each one, the one who had 1, the one who had 2, the one who had 5, he said he gave to each one, the 5, the 2, the 1, according to their ability. So they had the one who did his had the ability to multiply, but he didn't do it. So he didn't do what he had the ability. So he didn't learn how to tread on that ground. You know, whether soles and feet tread, it's yours. He didn't do that. He hid his in fear. So he didn't develop that thing. So as God is training you at this season, developing you how to take territory, not just physical land, but, you know, wealth, you know, oil, water, all the gold, the things that belong, the trees, the grass, everything that Jesus died for. He died for the grass, the land. He died for the earth to be cleansed and washed and brought back to the glory of God. That's what he did. So where the soles of your feet tread, you walk in that, doing business with God. Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business when he was 12 years old. About my Father's business? He wasn't a businessman. Oh, yeah, he was. He was. Yeah, a little bit different business than people thought, but he understood the business realm. I'm about my Father's business. In other words, yeah, that's what he looked at it as a 12-year-old. I'm about my Father's business. So there's a business anointing on you, and it's more than just, you know, business, you know, and what most people call business. It's about the business of the Father of taking back what belongs to him, right? And that means a people, healing, you know, giving them back their health, you know, an anointing. So I saw an anointing. I saw oil on your feet, and it looked like anointing oil. I wanted to say at first it could be oil on the ground, but I realized it's anointing oil, which is even greater because anointing oil on your feet means that where you tread, if there's oil on the ground, it's yours. If it's water on the ground, it's yours. If it's gold on the ground, it's yours. If it's blessing in the ground to grow crops, it's yours. If it's you know, yeah. So that Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business. And that's what I see you saying to God and to the like, oh, what are you doing? What are you doing over here? And, oh, I'm about my Father's business. Yeah. And his mother, of course, didn't understand, neither did Joseph. But they realized something was going on, and all the priests around him realized, okay, this dude's got something going on. And then he says, I'm about my Father's business. A 12-year-old didn't know nothing about business. You know, you wouldn't think, but he was made for it. He was made to do the Father's business. And that entails everything. And like with Abraham, it was literal physical business, but it's not like he had a business, but his business was everything he touched, you know, the cattle, the sheep, the land, his family, his seed, it was blessed because he learned how to do the Father's business, the Father's way. Amen. You got anointing on that on your feet. Unusual. I saw your feet like dripping with oil, dude. I did. It looked like golden oil. It wasn't really black oil. It's like golden oil. Amen. So that means that wherever you saw your feet can tread on anything. All right. 610-969, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hi, Shalom, Prophet Ramsey. This is Lisa Raquel from PA. And I'm requesting prayer for my family. My ma is Miss Sandra and Devante, and Andre too.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. All right. For Andre and Devante. Ma. All right. Yes, thank you, Lord, for Andre, God. We thank you, Lord, for Andre. We thank you for his life, God. We thank you, Lord, for to give him, let him press through. What he's being tested with right now is, will he yield to that hopeless thing? Or will he be like Abraham and believe in hope? And say about Abraham, let's get out of there. He believed in hope. Abraham. I'm going to find that scripture so I can make sure and get it to him. Romans 4:18. Against all hope, Abraham and hope believed. Okay, Romans 4:18. All right, so read that, get that to him, and say, you know, what's going on with you? Don't, you know, there's a real test that you're going through, and that is that to stand and not succumb to the hopelessness of the situation, whatever the things are. Amen, and standing in line with what God is saying and doing. All right? Yeah. So thank you, Lord, for that, that he'll know he's being tested and to stand in that realm of hope against hope where he will not go backwards, but he will go forward. That was going to push him forward. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right, Devante, thank you, Lord, for Devante tonight. Thank you, God, that you bless him, God, that you cause him to know the difference between knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus. Sometimes we know, I've had parents that my grandmother, different people taught me about Jesus. My pastor taught me about Jesus. I didn't really listen very well, but I knew about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. You know, so there's a big difference between knowing about Jesus and really knowing Jesus. And the innocence of a childhood, a child can experience God in its own way, but they may not even be born again. They can experience, if you will, you know, like I know people that have, as children, felt the love of God, yet they were not born again, right? Yet there's innocence of their childhood. They were, but so there's a difference. So people think that that's being born again when that happens to them. And it's not. It's just the purity of their heart and mind still being able to sense, you know, and get in a religious meeting and still, you know, be able to sense the glory of God, but not be born again. Right, so I don't know what's going on with him, but he will know the difference between, you know, being born again and knowing about God and knowing about Jesus and going to church and feeling the anointing and going to church and getting breakthroughs. There's a big difference, and some people can have religious experiences, and thank God for them, you know, I guess, but to have a true born again experience with Jesus and fellowship with the Lord is different than knowing about him, right? I know a lot of people know a lot about him, but they don't know him. I mean, they're not bad people, but they don't know him. And so to come to know him, it's a whole different thing. So thank you, Jesus, for Devante, God, that where are we at on that, that even if he is truly born again, that his spirit man will begin to rise up and not just know things about Jesus or God, but know him, you know him through everything he goes through, to know him, to experience Jesus. And to know Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for Devante. Blessing, God. He's a blessing. And Ma, Lord, we thank for Ma's strength. And Ma, God, give her strength to set her bones. I speak strength to her bones. I speak strength to the joy of the Lord in her life. You'll give her bones, her marrow, God, strength and tranquility and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, thank you, Lord, for that, in Jesus' name. All right. And for Lisa, thank you, Jesus, for Lisa tonight. God, thank you for teaching her how to walk in that area where we don't succumb to things. You know, I mean, I'm always succumbing to things. People succumb to things all the time, but you're teaching her how to see the patterns of things that she succumbs to that she didn't realize Some things are just habitual, you know. You just like habitually go somewhere without realizing you're going there, and then all of a sudden you're there, and you're like, wow, how did I get here? So God's going to start showing you patterns of your thoughts that appear good, appear right, and they start taking you to a place to make you sad or something, you know, where you catch yourself and you just don't go there. It's like God healing something in your brain. Like you're able to catch yourself from going there so you don't go there, right? And before you go there, so your brain doesn't release those, those chemicals in your brain to cause you sadness or whatever. I see that going on. God, bless that in Jesus' name. Open that up for in the name of the Lord. All right, now I lost somebody earlier tonight. I overlooked them, and okay. All right, 614. Did you call your drop?
Yes, I did. That was me.
Okay, I thought so. Okay, that's okay. I thought, I don't know, where did that number, and I didn't remember the number, but when I saw it, I remembered it. Now, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
My name is Deborah from Ohio.
From Ohio? Okay, Deborah, nice to have you tonight. I'm glad I caught that. I just happened to, because I know you were before Lisa, and I went to Lisa accidentally. I didn't mean to, and I looked at it, oh, my gosh, I did it out of order. And then, so I thought, at least I'll look for you, so I found you. So thank God. Thank you, Lord, for Deborah. God, I thank you for Deborah that you are raising her above. I see God raising your thoughts up, your thoughts. Like we talked tonight a little bit about when your spirit man gets recreated and totally made new, totally through and through in the image of Christ Jesus. The only part of it that's like that. And totally and completely, the only part of us that's like that, and it's just amazing how God did that. Totally a new creature in our spirit, man, right? Our soul has to work it, but so I see your thoughts. I see God. So when I said that, I used the word that you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So what does that mean? Does that mean that your spirit kind of leaves your body and goes to heaven? No, it means that your spirit man, by being recreated in the image of Christ, goes to a high level of quality, the highest level of quality. It's the God level of quality, Christ image quality, right? And so the rest of you is not like that, but your spirit man is. And so I saw the penetration of thoughts that came in rays of light, penetrating through into your soul, and just giving you little, what's the word, glimpses of glory. I saw you getting little like light just kind of like spurting out like a drop or something, like a drop of light, almost like rain, except it was a drop of light with a tail behind it, you know. I saw it dripping into your soul and dripping glory drops, God's thoughts, oh my God, this is amazing, into your soul, into your mind, to renew, refresh your mind, to make new your mind, to cleanse your mind, to save your soul, like, you know, all of our souls go through a process of being saved by the Word of God, to receive with meekness the engrafted Word of God for the saving of your soul. And so I saw that, like, happening, like raindrops of light, with little tails behind them, like a drop of, you know. And God, you know, just giving you thoughts, the thoughts of God. And those thoughts of God are opening you up to the glory of God. And I see your mind, your soul, going to a place of glory to God, giving glory to God, singing glory to God, singing songs of glory to God, and entering into that place to where those drops of God's light, like rain, get pouring down into your soul. And God giving you His image ideas. He's going to give you image ideas, ideas of images of ideas and ideas. In other words, I see the light becoming images pushing your mind. Like when I get words of knowledge or prophetic words sometimes, they come in images in my mind. I see a person doing a certain thing, or I see them acting a certain way, or, you know, I see their hair missing dating or falling out. I'll see different things. I see different images in my mind, right? And I go, yeah, I see this. And I say, well, I see this happening to you, getting images in your mind from that light. I guess that's, maybe that's words of knowledge. Maybe that's just God speaking to you. I'm not sure what that is. But open yourself up to that and let those raindrops of God's glory of light come down from your spirit man. Your spirit man is the highest. Your soul got left down here in the earth realm, so is your body. But your spirit man, even though he's still in your body, got soul quality eye. He got soul, such a high level of quality of Christ Jesus, that even though he's still in your body, he's totally been changed to the point where he's seated in the highest in the thoughts of the realm of thinking like God thinks, thinking like Christ thinks, thinking like the Holy Spirit thinks, right? So start becoming your thoughts, right, by the Holy Spirit. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, but it's revealed by the Spirit what God is saying, right? Thank you, Lord, for that anointing in her life, God. Thank you for waking her up in that and letting that light shine down inside of her in the name of Jesus and quickening her, God, to that new place of just the light of the glory. I see you singing praises of glory in the light of God, the images of God coming to your mind, showing you things, giving maybe dreams, visions, or just thoughts. All right? I don't even know what that is, but it's pretty cool. All right. Moving on here. Thank you. 754-240. Who am I talking to? Where from, please?
Hey, Randy. This is Donald and Tanya from Florida.
Hey, y'all. All right. My brother and sister from Florida for that priesthood, God, for the priesthood, God, in Jesus' name. God, I just thank you, Lord. I breathe on them tonight. That I speak to the priesthood in them, God. I speak to the priesthood in my brother, God. When we men are the priests of their families, you got a wife, you got a family, you got children, you are the priest of your family. And, you know, we're like Christ. You know, the Bible says that a man loves his wife like Christ loved the church. You know, the only way we can do that is the priesthood of Christ, working and developing our life with the love of God toward our wife and our family and the abilities that God has given men to provide, men to, you know, think in the realm of provision and connect with God. Men can connect with God in the realm of provision in a way that women don't. Now, women can connect, definitely. They have different drawing power, but it's different. Men have an ability from God to be providers. That's the male part. That's the man. That's the God part. That's the God part, God-man part of us, if you will, being in the image and likeness of God. But that's the part in a man that it develops. And so I thank you, Lord, for that, an anointing on that, to water that, to nurture that, to anoint that in Donald's life, Father, in the name of Jesus, for that priesthood part of him, stands before the Father, and the Father says, yeah, I know what you need. Okay, and he stands in the gap. And watches the Father of all provision provide for his man, for his family. In the name of Jesus, I loosen that on you in Jesus' name. I see you. I see a belt being girt about your loins, and a belt being girt about your loins. I'm not sure exactly what that. Maybe to strengthen your loin area. You might do a little research on loin and what that means. Maybe you already have. I don't know. That God strengthen your loins. That's the part of you that the gut part of you. I don't know. I even know what loins are. Sorry, I wish I knew more about loins, but I don't. But yeah, so study that. Look at that, and that's what God is strengthening. And it has to do with the man part of you that brings provision, that has an anointing for provision and opening doors, and taking things that belong to God. That are given to you. They belong to God, but they're given to you. And God's going to show you how the things that are his, how they belong to you. In other words, God gives them to you. Once God gives them to you, they're yours. And you become a steward of it. And then the better you are a steward of it, the more he increases it and multiplies it. I can tell Ebony, be fruitful and multiply. Increase and multiply in every area, right? Bear fruit with children, bear fruit with, you know, it's all about provision. The fruit of the trees, that was provision. So they tilled the ground. Why? Because the provision, you know, that the trees brought forth, and they took care of the garden, and it brought forth better even, or something like that. Hey, this stuff just comes out of my mouth. I don't know what's going on. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Tanya, God. I thank you, Lord, for Tanya. Thank you, Jesus, for Tanya, God. I thank you for I see the Lord Jesus, like, girding, you know, like, taking hold of you. Like, I see his arms, like, around you and holding you up. Like, you feel, I don't know if you feel weak or you just feel, or you're just, you're resting in him. I'm not sure what that is. It's like you're resting in him, but at the same time, you feel weak. And maybe you're choosing to be weak of yourself to, so that he can be strong for you. And I see him holding you up and girding you up, Tanya. See his arms like around you, like, and you're like relaxed. Like, I can't tell whether you're relaxed in him and you're resting in him, or you're feeling weak or whatever. I can't tell what that is. And he's holding you, he's girding you, he's strengthening you, he's making sure you don't fall to the ground, you don't fail. Hallelujah. Amen. That's amazing. Thank you, God, for strengthening her inner being, God. Hallelujah. And Nakeda, this is not more than about money. This is more than about having something to have food and eat. This is about God's will. This is about God's provision. This is about God's provision for you, not man's provision for you, not man's way, not man's wealth. God's wealth in you. Men have wealth, but God has a wealth that is way beyond what men can have. And he's connecting you to that provision in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That wealth. Let it be done, God, in Jesus' name. All right. Okay, 863, you're next. And I think you asked me to pray for somebody. Let me see what it was. Nikki says, pray for Stephanie and Lillian. They have COVID. Oh, my gosh, they got COVID. Bless their heart. Well, I can relate. I had COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, they got it from
right.
Kyle.
Well, that's sorry, sucker.
Yeah, he got over it and they got it.
Oh, no. That's kind of the way
yeah.
it happens, man. It's crazy, yeah. I think the same
yeah.
thing happened to me. All right, Nick. All right. Thank you very much. Let's pray for them. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we just pray for Stephanie and Bill. Oh, that sweet little baby doll. Yeah, dear Jesus, have mercy. God, just bless that baby. That baby, you know, I just, I think the older you get, the more everything's a baby, you know, like, that's my baby, that's a baby, that's a sweet baby. You just see things as babies, isn't it crazy? It's a beautiful thing, but I just see baby, Lily and that sweet baby doll. That's her Jesus. God, let her just rise up from the dead almost in a spiritual sense. Let her spirit man just rise up through all that stuff and speak and prophesy and declare and decree the will of the Father, the things of God. I see Lily prophesying the practical things of God. You know, like some people get really hyper spiritual about stuff, and she can be very practical. Like, they need some food. God, give them some food. Some food shows up. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. Like, God, they need a rug in their bedroom to walk on so the floor's not cold. You know, like, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody delivers a rug to their house. You know, something like that. I don't even know what I'm talking about, but. You know, some people about, you know, touch and anoint their head with oil, which is a beautiful thing, but a very practical anointing on that little girl's life. Sweet Jesus. That's sweet Jesus stuff, man. Stephanie, God, we thank you for Stephanie, God. Help them get through this COVID, Father. We thank you for, you know, just giving them what they need, strengthen them, let them stay encouraged, let them not get down. In Jesus' name, bring them the help that they need so that, you know, what they need to get done can get done. Wait on them, hand and foot. Yeah. Give Stephanie the strength to just do what she needs to do. Hallelujah. Strengthen her, God, with supernatural strength. Hallelujah. Amen. And, amen, cleanse and wash their bodies and their souls and their body and soul from that stuff in the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Resurrect them, God, from that stuff by the power of God. Bless Nikki, God. Thank you for Nikki and Charles. We thank you for them, God. We thank you for their heart to serve, God. That that treasure anointing, that treasure. This is the year we're talking about, 2022, which I don't mention that much right now, but the treasure realm that are stored up for Nikki and Charles, God. For those treasures that are stored up. I mean, you know, money. I'm talking about provision, not just money only, but favor for provision. Favor, like God, you know, having someone give you something, give stuff to you. It's not just about money only, but it's about provision. And I thank you, Lord, for those treasures being unlocked this year, God. Let it be done, unlocked this year, God. 2022, your treasures unlocked for their blessing, for their house, the car, the provision in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So they can serve you even better, serve you even greater, serve you even at a higher level. In the name of Jesus, let that be done right now by the power of God. Oil of God, pour all over their head in the name of Jesus. Pour down their head. Hallelujah. Do it in the name of Jesus and bless them, God. Amen, amen. All right. 972-69. Oh, hang on a second. 972-69.
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
All right, Terrence and Tanisha. I know. Yeah, I know. Tanisha got hit with something. I'm not sure what it was. But thank you, Lord, for taking care of your children, God. That Tanisha is a covenant person, God, and I thank you, God, for the covenant. You know, the reason, you know, and I don't know how to explain this, what I just saw in my spirit, but, like, cutting the covenant, it's like cutting your, back in the days, this is the way I saw, you know, like, when people, like Indians would cut a covenant with the cowboy, they'd, you know, cut their finger or cut their arm or something, and they'd put their blood together, you know, like blood brothers. So I'm not sure what the true connection with that is, but what I see is that the information I got was like cutting, the cutting. So when there's, it's like I still being cut, like unjustly or something, or like necessarily, and like how God took an unjust cutting, you know, the cutting of the covenant, except this was kind of a different way of cutting it, and taking that cutting of the covenant with that person that, you know, cut you maybe to hurt you, that you turned around. I saw you turn around, covenant with that person of forgiveness. Oh, my gita cupata pareo congele frequise. And like, you know, they cut you and you turned around, and instead of striking them back, you know, whatever they might deserve, you cut covenant with them. In other words, you said, I'm going to cut a covenant with you. I'm cutting covenant with you. You wounded me. You hurt me, you didn't, and the blood that's coming from my cut that you went with, with those wounds, I'm going to cut covenant, and I'm going to stand before God and cut covenant with God. I said, God, I see you saying, God, like a priest crying, like Jesus crying out for sinners, for people who just messed up and say, dear God, they've cut me. I want to take the blood that they've cut me with and the skin, and I want to cut covenant with you, Jesus. We cut covenant together. Have mercy on them. God, do not hold this against him like Stephen did when Stephen was being stoned. Stephen was not an apostle, but he was a deacon who God used him mightily in miracles. And they stoned him to death, right? In the middle of it, he said, Father, as they were stoning him, he was interceding for in their behalf. Father, forgive them, for they know not. Just like Jesus did on the cross. That's what I see happening with you, Tanisha. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And God's showing you that it looks like they know what they're doing. They're mean, they're nasty, it's bad, it's fleshly, it's whatever it is, like mean, you know, ornery, you know, incompassionate, no mercy, and it's like they know what they're doing. But all of a sudden, I see your eyes being opened at a whole other level. Like Jesus and Stephen said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And cutting covenant with Jesus, saying, God, I will not let them go to hell. I will not let them be cursed. I will not let them fail. I will not have mercy on them, Jesus. Oh, my God. Tanisha, do you see that? Ma que tu cachecara pa carquerco no requiere que el pito que clere que tarco paro motar. My God, what is that? Woo! Jesus. Like when they were whipping him, that he was saying Jesus could have been bitter, he could have been, but no, he said these stripes, every time they cut me, every time they nail a nail in me or stick a spear in my side, That's covenant blood for their souls. That's covenant blood for them to get saved. That's covenant blood to get them right with God. I'm not going to, Stephen would not pray. These mean, nasty people, I've been healing the sick, raising the dead, and the wisdom that God gave me just made these evil people so mad that they decided to kill me for no reason. All I was doing was good, just like Jesus. But you know what he did? He said, Father, he said, do not hold this. Oh, my God. And then, now watch this. And then the very person that was holding the clothes of those that were stoning him was Saul, as you know, who became Paul the Apostle. And right after that, Jesus intervened, knocked him off his horse, and saved his sorry hide. He wasn't really sorry hide, but you know me. Yeah, and said, man, I could use this guy. Yeah. All because of what Stephen did, all because of what Tanisha did, all because of what cutting that covenant and what them cutting Jesus, cutting you, cutting your life, cutting your family, that became the blood you cried out with forgiveness for them. Amen. And then that, and then Paul got saved and became a mighty warrior for God. All right. Thank you. Woo. Where am I going? I don't know. Jesus, thank you. Help me. Wow. And Terrence, God, thank you for Terrence, God. We thank you, Lord, for that place of sharing his heart, God, freely. And, you know, even though we may do business with people and have a business thing that we're doing, whatever it is, you know, like when I go to the store, you know, I do business with those people. Right? You can't go in there and say, I'm a preacher, you know, everywhere I go, food is free for me. So thank you. I'm going to load my grocery bag and I'm going to walk out. And the last time I tried that, it got me in big trouble. No, I didn't try that. I was kidding. But, so, you know, we do business in the world, you know, and so it's like, you know, so even though Jesus said, I'm about my Father's business, there was this whole thing about him that he was a giver. He gave, you know. And when we do business with people, even though we have to counteract it, like we're selling cars or selling whatever we're doing, there's some money transactions but that go on. But the successful people are the people who are givers. In other words, yeah, you're going to pay for that truck because, you know, I'm going to make, you know, 10%, 20% off that. But the spirit of the person is, you know, I'm going to take care of you. You've done business with me. I'm going to treat you like my brother, even though I don't know you, because you're doing business with me, because you're part of me. I'm going to treat you like and give, have a spirit of giving. Spirit of giving. And that spirit of giving, and when people do business with you, like you take them on as brothers, even though you don't know them, and you treat them like brothers, take care of them. Like when you have a car business, let's say, and the car breaks down, you go, well, sorry about that, man. You out of luck now. Now you go, like, you know what? I'm going to take care of that for you, okay? I know I don't have to. I'm going to take care. I'm going to give to you. You bought that car for me. You know, I told you something could go wrong with it, but you know what? I'm going to pay for half of that or pay for the whole thing. We're going to have that fixed. I got a mechanic. We got a part back there. I'm going to have it fixed with, and I'm going to give it to you, you know. And then what happened? You get that customer forever, man. They're gonna be sending their cousins to you, their brothers, your uncles. Why? Because you got a giving spirit about you. Oh yeah, you got to do business, gotta make money. You know, things gotta happen. Business is business. But you see what I'm saying? Even in ministry, that's what we talk about in ministry. In ministry, you know, when we have a giving spirit and we do this because we want to give to people. You know, even though they may help our ministries, give to our ministries, but if we even in that we can become buyers and sellers and manipulators. Right, but instead, whether in the business world or as a minister of God, when you have a giving spirit, when Jesus people and bless them, he didn't say, okay, don't forget to give in the offering today because you know you owe me now. No, he says, man, I freely give to you. You want to give back, you do it because you want to give it. Do it because you want to. I'm giving this to you free. This is free. I've given to you. I'm laying my life down for you. You have to pay me. You don't even have to serve me. When people get saved, Jesus doesn't say, you got to serve me now. You better serve me. No, he says, I saved you, I set you free. You can go your way. Wow, you forgive me all my debt, and you tell me I can go my way? I don't even owe you anything? No, you go your way, you're free. You know what that person's going to do when they're walking down the road thinking, I can go free, I can do anything I want to? They're going to be thinking, you know, I'm going to go back and I'm going to go back and help that person because look what they did to me. I mean, they forgave me of my debt, and now they set me free and told me I didn't owe them anything. Wow, what kind of person is that? Wow. Yeah, so I thank you, Lord, for Terrence, God, and blessing him in that way and open him up to that in every area, God. He's a giver, God. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. Amen. Yeehaw! All right, 919-425. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Destiny from North Carolina.
All right, Destiny. All right. Heavy. All right, thank you, Lord, for Destiny. Thank you, Jesus, for the transfer of wealth. God, you're going to transfer the wealth of that you know, to show Destiny what the wealth of God is. The wealth of God is, what is the wealth of God? It's freedom, man. It's freedom. Man, when you're in bondage, when I'm in bondage with something, and there's sometimes I can be in bondage to this day. I can be in bondage with something, maybe a temporary small bondage, but either way, it's a bondage. So we can get in bondage very easy over anything. But when we have a bondage, it's so lowly, it's so low, it's so, you know, degrading. And so when Jesus sets us free, the treasuring that and knowing that this is true wealth. This is true wealth. To be free, I don't have to do something that I used to have to do because Jesus sets me free. And the wealth of God and the blessing of God to, you know, to set us free and to see that as true wealth. I mean, I know a lot of very wealthy people. The man who created the computer that I'm on right now, you know, the guy, Steve Jobs, extremely wealthy, made a movie about it. He was not a very, what we found out, he wasn't a very giving person, and he had some real issues, right? Had lots of money, he had so much money, he had lots and lots of money, lots of wealth, and yet he got sick, and not one doctor could help him. Not one doctor, his wealth could not help him. So God's going to show you, Destiny, that the wealth of God is not about how much money we have, true wealth. And I know you already know this to a certain degree. God's going to show you the true wealth is the freedom we have when Jesus sets us free. That is true wealth. When we are not a slave to anything. Hallelujah. That is so cool, man. And I see your heart crying out and God going, yes, I'm sending my wealth your way. Steve Jobs could have had the wealth of God. Man, he could have still been alive today. But he didn't have the wealth. He had money, but he didn't have the wealth of God. And I release the wealth of God into your life, girl. In the name of Jesus, you are blessed. You are favored. I declare and decree it in the name of Jesus. You're going to walk in the wealth of God's freedom and his love and his tenderness and his compassion. And I see you weeping over it. I see you weeping, and I see like some kind of a greenish oil. I don't know, water or oil, whatever that is, coming out of your body. Something greenish coming out of your body, I don't know if it's coming out of your mouth or out of your body. I don't. It's not necessarily coming out of a certain place. I just see it coming out of your body, like a greenish, like. You know, water or some type of, I don't know what that is. I see that coming out of your body in Jesus' name, out of your body in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And be blessed and be filled with the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 903-808. Who am I talking to with some, please? I know who that is. It's Jeannie from Texas. She's been working so hard. Her and Hollis, y'all, are just working like, I mean, they got, you know, they're workers. They're out there working, you know, they're moving. They got all kinds of stuff going on. So pray for them. She isn't able to do her show this week because she got so much going on. And bless her heart, she's been doing it. She did her show, you know, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and it's like, and going, girl, can you take a break? Take a break. You got so much going on. So just bless her, God. Bless her body.
in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening her. I thank you, Lord, for an anointing of the oil of anointing, God, of praise begin to rise up within her, Jesus. And, God, I thank you, Father, for that turning point in her lungs and in her system, her breathing system, to be that foul infection, that foul stuff, in Jesus, I command it to come out in the name of Jesus and loosen you now. You are a woman of God. You're going to breathe in the breath of praise. You're going to breathe out the breath of praise. In Jesus' name, you're going to breathe out the breath of praise. And your system, I know you have sinus issues and that kind of thing. And in the name of Jesus, I command those things to come completely out of you in Jesus' name and to be free in your body, in your soul, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And God filling you with praises. Your breathing system being filled with the praises of God in Jesus' name and encapsulate the oil of anointing of praise, God, in Jesus' name, my sister, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right, 847-505. Who am I talking to you from, please? All right, 847-505. Okay. All right, 847-505. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hang on a second here. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Margaret tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Margaret. God, I thank you for to succeed, the spirit of success, to succeed. God, giving you he told Joshua to meditate on the word day and night. And I think I've talked that to you about this before. Let me drink water here in a second. Marja, about the meditation thing. Well, meditation isn't just, you know, sitting around trying to think about things of God. There's something in you that has an ability to chew on the things of God, to meditate on them, to contemplate them and to think about them and to dwell on them, you know, without even realizing you're doing it. And so tonight I'm going to declare and decree to you the spirit of success in your life. In Jesus' name, the spirit of success that you are called and chosen, Marja, to be a success in every area of life, not just at one thing and then everything else, but like some people can be a success. Like the guy, I talk about Steve Jobs, who made this computer I'm on, the Mac computer. You know, it's an amazing computer, amazing. He did a great job. But he was only blessed in one area of his life. He couldn't have a good marriage. He couldn't have a relationship. He was highly successful in one little area. But true success, as we know, is being successful in every area. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, in a relationship, and, you know, in managing things, being manager, the manager part of you coming alive in Jesus' name, be able to manage things and in Jesus' name to manage yourself, to manage others, if God gives you to be a good steward. And Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, for activating that thing in her of success and wealth. In Jesus' name, the success of the Spirit. You are successful. I'm going to declare over you, Mark. You are successful. You will succeed. You are going to succeed in the things of God. You are a success. I declare over you, you're not going to be a success. I'm declaring that you are a success, and you're going to awaken to it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And let it be done right now by the power of God. All right. All right. 24042, who am I talking to you from, please?
Valerie from North Carolina. Valerie from North Carolina.
Oh, Valerie. Hi, Valerie. Yes, I should have known that, Valerie. Thank you, Valerie. Yes, I got it. All right. Thank you, Valerie. Thank you, Father, for Valerie. Father, I thank you for time and space, for time. Sometimes we need more time, but sometimes God goes in and he starts
helping us to get things done where it doesn't take, instead of taking 3 hours to do something, we get it done in, you know, 30 minutes. And so I see, so I see that happening with you, where God shows you how to, you know, in other words, get right to the root of an issue. Where you're praying about something, you don't pray about it for 6 months. You pray about it for six minutes, 6 hours, 6 days overall. And you get a breakthrough. So God's showing you how to go to the root of things, how to, you know, deal with things at root level, to where once you, like Jesus cursed the fig tree root, the root of the fig tree. And when he did that, you know, just almost not immediately, but pretty quick, the tree just began to die, right? And it happened quickly. So when God shows you the root of things, how to deal with the root of issues, how to handle a child, how to deal with a child. Every child is different, as you know. And every time we deal with a child, we deal with a child. I had a great mom and dad. They were great mom and dad. But they didn't know what they had on their hands. I was a mess, you know. And so the more they tried to fix me, the worse I got, because they didn't know how to fix me. I guess they didn't. God didn't want them to do anything. God wanted to fix me, right? So because they didn't know how to fix me, they didn't know how to nurture me, like you know, only God could do. I was just a problem all the time. And so once Jesus saved me, I just knew I needed somebody to love me unconditionally. I'm sorry, I was. And I think most of us need that. And that was the answer to my problem. Because when I got born again, the only thing I knew about him at the moment was that he loved me the way I was, and he loved me unconditionally. That I knew that. I don't know how I knew that, but I knew it, and I felt it. And it abided with me. And I'm going, dear God, thank you for that beautiful thing, Jesus. And he went to the root of my problem, and my orneriness just went away almost instantly, you know. Almost instantly, not quite instantly, but I mean, like, things just started going away. But thank you, Lord, for showing Valerie how to go to the root of things and spend a lot less time having to deal with stuff, with a lot more time to do fun things and be blessed and have finances to have fun, do fun things. 936-6868, who am I talking to or something?
Hi, it's Barbara. How are you, sir?
Oh, Barbara, all right. Really good. Good to have you, Barbara. All right. Thank you for being with us on Wednesday night. Thank you, Jesus. Barbara from Texas. Thank you, Lord, for Barbara. Thank you, Lord, for the treasure, for the year of treasures. God, I speak treasures over her. I declare and decree the treasure realm that God, you know, she only get treasures from the earth, but treasures come down, you know, from the heavens, from, you know, from above and from beneath. God, I thank you, Lord, that, you know, thank you, Jesus, for that. And in a second, yeah. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for the treasure room, God. That I know, Barbara, treasures you and treasures your family and treasures things. And I thank you, God, that the way she treasures you, God, I thank you that you're going to show her that you treasure her and open up those treasures for her, God, the things that she needs to have where they're permanent, where they're permanent, where they're not up and down and, you know, changing here and there all the time, but they're permanent things, the permanent blessing, the blessing of abiding in that blessed treasure and walking in the treasures of Isaiah 22:22, and the authority to, you know, shut whatever things, whatever doors you shut, they're shut. Whatever doors are open, are open. And the authority to do that, to open up doors and shut doors in Christ, and through the Spirit of God, and the treasure of that, the authority to bind and loosen in Jesus' name, and open up the treasures in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for that anointing and for the wisdom. It takes the wisdom of God to do that, and I thank you for the wisdom of God in her life to be able to open those treasures, and where they would be permanent in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 720-819, who I talk to you from, please?
Kevin Yuki from Colorado.
All right, good from you. Good to have you guys. All right, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah for that. That yoke is easy thing. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Where, you know, You know, not, I know you guys are going to be traveling to Thailand, I think you, Jeff said last night. You know, I see you, Yuki, God showing you how to travel in the spirit, how to go take places in the spirit. I don't know if you're going to go do this at nighttime. I don't know if this is going to have this spiritual thing, a total spiritual thing. I'm not sure exactly how this is. But you've been able to travel through time in the spirit and travel through time and kind of know, kind of, you know, it's prophetic in a sense, traveling through time. When you travel through time, like you see these movies where they travel through time and they go into the future and they see what the future looks like. And they're like, oh, my gosh, you know, that's really messed up or really good. So they go back and they go, well, we've got to change this because in the future, this thing here, it's our country, when we're doing these certain things, it's going to really be bad. We've got to change this. So showing Yuki the things that need to be changed, like letting her see the future of where things can go if it keeps going that direction, to change that, to know that that's what the prophetic realm does. It tells us, you know, what if we'll change these things, that the future will be better, that the future will be good. So being able to see the damage that things if we keep doing it this certain way, it's going to be damaged in the future. So we got to do it the correct way. We got to handle things like, you know, like even things with the earth and things with, you know, people talk about how they want to take care of the earth, but at the same time, the way they're taking care of the earth, they're not doing it right. So if they keep doing the things they're doing, pretty soon we're not going to have any more trees, and we're not going to have any more grass, and we're not going to have any more something, whatever, water, whatever it is. And being able to change that now, you know, because you can see what it's going to be in the future. So God's really anointing you for that. And for Jeff, God, I thank you, Lord, for Jeff, that the same type of thing where, God, we know that, you know, so what Jesus does is he knows the beginning from the end. He knows what the earth was like in the Garden of Eden, and he knows why it was blessed. He knows why the fruit was big. He knows why that everything was beautiful and peaceful, because you know, he understood how the earth was created and the things that had to be to, you know, keep it like that, like sin. And God's showing you, Jeff, not just the physical root of things, but the spiritual root. Like the earth was in good shape, and it didn't get in bad shape because they poured bad fertilizer on the trees, you know, and started putting, you know, unhealthy fertilizer on the ground and ruining the ground. That's not what turned the earth bad, right? What was it? It was sin. Sin did that. So when they sin, all the earth just turned into like somebody had poisoned it or something. But it wasn't the poison of bad fertilizer or whatever, or poisoning with different things that we think are good that end up being bad. But it was sin. And so God's showing you how that though we can have all the right things, but if sin is not dealt with, like in the Garden of Eden, as soon as they sin, you know, the whole earth groaned and got in pain. Before that, it was growing, everything beautiful, and everything was perfect, and the waters were great, everything was beautiful, the peace and wonder and glory and food everywhere, just happiness and joy. But when sin hit, when they sinned, it ruined the earth. So what ruins the earth more than anything? Sin does. What's the second thing that ruins the earth? We know what that is, you know. Yeah. Eating bad food, so the whole thing. So God's really going to balance you out with this thing of how when Adam and Eve sinned, it turned all the trees where they didn't bear the fruit, and it had nothing to do with they poisoned it with fertilizer, with the wrong kind of fertilizer, right? They tried to make it. No, it was sin. And then also, you know, developing the earth too in different ways. God had them, you know. And even in the garden, before there was ever sin, they were tilling the garden. They were working it. So I don't think they were just working it for the heck of it. I think they were working it for a reason, to make it better. But when sin is the main thing that caused the earth to quit growing and doing what it was supposed to do. So God's showing you that and opening your eyes to that. in a way that so you can know that we're not just dealing with things from a natural perspective, which we need to, we've got to, but we deal it from a spiritual perspective. It's like when you, like you see, you know, a whole town, let's say a whole town had been, you know, people had been, you know, doing everything wrong about growing trees and growing, taking care of the ground. It was really messed up. Things are dying, things like that. And you go in and you go like, in the name of Jesus, I speak a cleansing power of the blood of Jesus over this city. And you want to buy the city, right? You're going to cleanse, Lord, cleanse the city with your blood. Wash the sin away from this, from this, from this city. And then the next day you wake up and all of a sudden all the trees are beautiful. All the trees are like, the ground is like, it's like the Garden of Eden. What happened? I guess we changed the way we did everything? No. It was about sin. And when that sin was broken, things happened. So anyway, kind of interesting way of looking at things. Yeah, whatever. All right, 803-991, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Randy, it's Angela, South Carolina.
Hi, Angela. All right, Angela, thank you, Lord. Yeah, yeah, God, just bring that person in her life that the match, the match for her, God. Bringing people in her life that match her, not just like in marriage only, but in friendships and, you know, ministry. Like, I feel like we match together, you know, your spirit and the people of PGN, their spirit, we all match each other. You know, we're kind of like a match. We're all like, we match together. So there's different ways that things match. You can go to a church and you can fit in or you can not fit in, right? You don't match. You go to a business and I've seen this with people. You go to work and then the boss is mean, the boss is ugly, the boss is rude, and they hate the job the whole time they're there for a year. They hate the job. I've seen it. And then they get another job, and God bless them with a job that all of a sudden all the people love them, you know, appreciate them. They're going to like, what happened? Nothing. They just got the right job. And they match. They got their match in a job. You can get your match in a lot of different ways. So I thank you, Jesus, for my sister, God, to getting her match in the ways that you called her to be matched up, God, in Jesus' name, in the beauty of holiness, to create that that match around for her, God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. And okay, you're back on again. I saw you get knocked off. Okay, yeah. So that match around. So God matching you up with even customers, you know. That like, man, I really like you, and just like they start believing everything you say. Yeah, this is right here is really good. They're going, oh yeah, okay, I believe you. But if they don't like you, they're not going to believe anything you say. They're going to be suspicious of you. You know, matches, being matched up is more than just being matched up with the right mate or matched up with the right whatever. But you know, yeah, you see what I'm saying. And so God, open her up and show her how to pray and believe you for matching her up with, you know what, you know. The things that God, really, the things that God has appointed us to is what we're matched up to. So it's kind of a spiritual thing. And God's showing you how to partake of that. And, yeah, partake of that. And be amazed at the wonder of how when God brings a match, whether it's a job, a business, a husband, a wife, customers, whatever that is, you know, God, that's God, that's entering into the realm of unity and what's the word I'm looking for here? Just God's favor where, you know, the people like resisting you, they want to work with you, right? That's called being matched up. Amen. Let the match realm happen for my sister in Jesus' name. Let it be done. All right, let's go here to 903-253. You might talk to me from, please. All right, error code 903-253. You there?
Oh, God, 903-253.
All right, 903-253. You there? Hello? Error code 903-253. Hi, how are you? Who am I talking to? Where are you from? Hello, what is your name? Hello? 903-253, are you there? I can't hardly hear you. You need to talk with your phone, please.
I'm busy talking.
Hello, 903, are you there? Hello? Just talk to me. Hello? Mm-hmm. I don't know who 903. All right, let's pray over 903. I don't know who that is. They're not able to hear me for some reason. So thank you, Jesus, for God, for the place of your opening up the eyes, standing, God, for 903. God, giving 903 the ability to open up her eyes, God, like we talked about before, when you break bread with Jesus in the Bible, you see what it says, and their eyes were opened. And I thank you, Lord, that you're opening her eyes to see that that the only thing that makes her happy, the only thing that satisfies her, is the will of God. So God's really going to show you how that your spirit man, that's when you get born again, your spirit man becomes totally renewed, totally restored, totally made new. It's the only part of you that's totally new and created in the image of Christ. You heard the teaching earlier when I taught earlier on that. Behold, all things become new. That your spirit man is completely new. Your spirit man doesn't sin. Your soul sins. Your body sins. But your spirit man does not sin, because he's seated with Christ in heavenly places, right? But your spirit man knows the will of God. And so when you're walking in the will of God, your spirit man resonates happiness to your soul. Your soul goes, yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy, happy, happy. But when you're out of the will of God, your spirit man goes, oh, grieve. I'm grieved. I'm grieving. Why? What is that? That's like God showing you, okay, this situation is not right. This situation is not good. This situation is not the will of God, or it's not, at least temporarily, not the will of God. This is not the right time. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Yeah, you know, you need to leave here and go back and get into the peace realm, where you got peace, where your spirit man is not grieved. When your spirit man is grieved, your soul begins, your mind, well, your emotions begin to be grieved. Now, what am I grieved for? You're losing your peace. Why? Because our spirit man knows what the will of God is. Our spirit man knows, always knows. Our spirit man never not knows what the will of God is. Always knows what the will of God is. So when we get out of the will of God, whether it's a little thing, big thing, you know, it doesn't matter. He's there to go, oh, ouch, oh, ow, grief, 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 sorrow, pain. And so we get back in the will of God. It's like, okay, happy, happy, happy. And so God's teaching you how to learn how to flow in that and live in that, and learn how to obey the Holy Spirit through your spirit, which is seated with him in heavenly places and is one with the Father, one with the Holy Spirit, one with Jesus. That's the only part of you that's totally one with Jesus and one with the Father, one with the Holy Spirit. It's the only part of you that it is. Your soul is being renewed. And so, yeah, so what helps it be renewed and changed is walking in the will of God. And that's what renews and changes your mind. So your spirit man always knows and will get grieved and give you grief, give you sorrow, give you mourning, give you sadness. So sometimes we try to rebuke the devil, and what we need to be doing is getting back in the will of God, so that our spirit man will go, okay, yeah, that's it. Yeah, there you are. Now you're back. Yeah, good job, girl. You're fine. This is the will of God. Yeah. So, there you go. Amen. All right, 214-938. Who am I talking to, very fun, please? Well, hi, Loretta. All right, Loretta, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Loretta. I thank you, Lord, for her voice. And I thank you for your voice. Your voice is powerful, Loretta. Your voice is, there's something about your voice that has power in it and authority in it. It has happiness in it. It has, when it's sad, it has sadness in it. Sometimes people need to be sad over things. Like if somebody's doing something that's hurting them, they need to be sad over that, right? So sometimes what we do is we minister to people and they get sad. We're going like, why do people get sad when I minister to them? Because they need to be sad. Some people, the Bible says, godly sorrow worketh repentance. So godly sorrow is a beautiful thing because it works repentance, right? God's showing you how to, when you talk to people, minister to people, sometimes, it creates sorrow in them. They're going, why do I get sorrow? Because that sorrow is what brings them to repentance or to change, right? So God wants you to know that every time we pray for people, minister to people, or even understand how God works with us, that sorrow sometimes is not necessarily a bad thing. Sorrow can be a thing that will bring us, our heart to change. And so God's showing you that with other people. When you see other people sad, you have to ask the Lord,
read it. Why are they sad? Are they sad because they had godly sorrow and it's going to lead them to repentance? Because if they have godly sorrow, I don't want to change that godly sorrow to, hey, you should be happy, 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 happy. You know, if they're godly sorrow, that means that godly sorrow is going to do something good with them, going to bring them to a change of heart, which will help their life, right? And so we don't want to be trying to get them into joy, right, when that's right. So let them maintain that sorrow and minister to them in that sorrow. And bring, so the quicker that they yield to that sorrow from God, the quicker they change. And then they become happy, right? God's showing you all the different ways God works. Sometimes sorrow is a godly thing. It's not always happy, happy, happy. As always, it's not always a God thing. So thank you, Lord, for showing the reader, God, how to read people, how to know, okay, is there sorrow from the devil or is there sorrow from God? You know, if there's sorrow from the devil, then we need to find out, you know, what's going on so we can change it so they can get back, so the devil can be rebuked and get back their life to being happy again and being free again. If you're called to the spirit of freedom, God's called you to freedom. He's not called you to bondage. He's called you to be free. And when you're free, sometimes Jesus was the most free person that we know, right? Sometimes he would weep with a loud crying and tears. The Bible says he wept with the Hebrews with loud crying and tears, crying out to God who could save him. But that's Jesus we're talking about. And then the next minute he's laughing, enjoying, has a little kid in his lap, you know, and they're all saying, you know, bring little children to me. He's happy and having fun, enjoying life, healing people. So there's all different kinds of emotions that God gives us. And to be able to know that, you know, all of them are good, right? And God's showing you how to read that with people, know whether happiness is of the world or their happiness comes from God. Right? And so being able to help them understand that, you know, that happiness of the world is going to eventually destroy you and ruin you. It's going to make you very sad. But the happiness of God bless you and keep you and make you a better person. Right, and God's showing you all the different ways on how to, the characteristics of God and how he deals with people and the different things that reveal, you know, whether a person, you know, their sorrow is God bringing them to repentance. So their sorrow is of the devil. We need to cast the spirit of sorrow out or whatever. Yeah, be able to see and recognize the difference between God's work and the enemy's work. All right? Yeah. Amen. All right, 720-682, who am I talking to you from, please?
What's up, Randy? It's Mike.
Hey, man, not much. What are you doing? Colorado. All right, stay heavy tonight. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the strength of my brother. You strengthened him. You know, I saw... What I see, Mike, is like when Jesus was at Gethsemane, you know, and when he got through with his yielding to the Father and resisting the devil, what it says, it said the angels came and strengthened him. So I don't know why I saw that with you, but I see the angels coming and strengthening you, giving you strength, you know, because sometimes when you go through, when you fight battles and you win, it doesn't mean you always automatically have strength. So the angels came and strengthened him. It said the angels came and strengthened him. That's amazing. The angels had to be sitting there watching him go through that battle. And when he won that battle, when he yielded to God instead of the devil, instead of what men want to do, even his own desires of, in this cup pass from me, when he won that victory and crushed the head of Satan, you know, it took a lot out of him. And that's sometimes why Jesus slept, you know. If people just think the Son of God never gets sleepy, never gets tired, always is strong. No. That sometimes we need sleep. Sometimes we need angels to come and strengthen us. You know, it's living with God, even Jesus, you know, like I said, he was very human in his humanness. And sometimes we try to live above our humanness. And God says, you know, sometimes you just get tired. Sometimes you need angels to come and strengthen you. So, Lord, I thank you for the angels. Strengthen my brother for the victory, God, the battle and the warfare he's gone through. Strengthen him, Jesus, at a whole nother level in the name of Jesus. I look like you did, Jesus. You gave him strength to go to the next level. You gave him strength to go give himself, you know, as a shepherd. And the most sacrificial thing he had ever done is after the angels gave him strength to go do that. And he did it, and it was successful and powerful. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for Veronica, God. We thank you, Lord, for blessing her, God, capturing the heart God, that you're capturing her heart. God is capturing your heart. Sometimes our heart, it's what the heart man believes. Man believes. So when our heart has to stay captured by God, and when it stays captured by God, then we can keep believing for the right things. When it gets, distracted or hurt or wounded or whatever, when our heart gets, that's why it says guard your heart. We have to guard our heart from just the world. Sometimes can be tough. Man, it's like, wow, the world. So guard your heart. Right? So we have to guard our heart. And when our heart's not guarded and we do get, stuff going on, get distracted, whatever, then God has to strengthen our heart. And I thank you, Lord, for the heart of God and my sister God to strengthen her heart in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Opening her up, God, and washing and cleansing and anointing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For the next place that you would have her to be, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Breaking fetters, opening doors in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we need keys to open up doors. And God giving you, he wants to give you keys. And he puts those keys in our heart. Heart keys are different from mind keys. Heart keys open up the heart of God. Heart keys, with the man heart believes. With the man, with the heart, man believes. With man's heart, man believes. Right, from the heart, we believe. And I thank you, Lord, that the keys to the kingdom of God are in the heart. So help her guard her heart, God. Keep her heart to unlock victory. All right, 402-650.
Hey, Randy. It's John from Omaha.
Oh, hi, John. All right, John. Good to have you. John and Melissa. Thank you, God, for John and Melissa. God, I thank you for strengthening John. God, I thank you for the power to succeed. The power to succeed, God, that success, what success really is. Success isn't always, as we know, having money, although that's wonderful. Success isn't always having, everybody around us all the time to, family. Sometimes success, John, is as you know, is doing what God says. Jesus said, the only thing, I only do what I see my Father do, and that's what kept him in the realm of success. True success is doing what he sees the Father do. So I thank you, Lord, that John's eyes are being opened at another higher level, God, to realize that there's only one really true perfect will of God. There's good and acceptable, but there's only one good perfect will of God. And God, I thank you that you bring him to the success level of the perfect will of God. In Jesus' name, where he's never content with anything but the perfect will of the Father. As you open him up, God, show him, open his heart, God, let him see that you've already paved the way for that, and that he will see that, and his eyes will be open to it, that you want him to be successful and to be a success in the name of, and showing him what true success is. True success is doing the right thing. Like we get in a valley of decision, making the right decision, that's success. Maybe just be a little thing. Maybe that something, nothing major, nothing really big, little decisions. Every time we do 10 little decisions, that's 10 successes. One big major success, that's one. So success is doing the right thing that God has called us to do every time. If we don't, we repent of it, get it right with God, he cleanses us, and he gives us another chance to do things. He never gives up. He knows that we're learning, we're growing, and that we're messing up, and that we need grace and unmerited favor. So thank you, Lord, for that grace and unmerited favor. Thank you for Melissa, God. We thank you, God, that you strengthen her in her heart to weep when she needs to weep, laugh when she needs to laugh. God, how to enjoy life in ways that she never has before. God, you can show her how to enjoy life in ways that she never has, to see things the way she's never seen them before, to laugh at things that used to make her upset, to cry at things that used to make her laugh. Just like God, I see God totally turning the tide on that in Jesus' name. The way you see things. And then things that used to bother you are not going to bother you. You're going to laugh about them. Yeah, amen. All right. 972-3636. Hang on a second. 972-365. I'm going to talk to you something.
Hey, Randy. This is Rhonda and Juan from Texas.
Rhonda and Ron. That's kind of hard to say. But I got it.
Rhonda and Juan.
I know.
Rhonda.
Yes, I mean, I do know. I was kidding with you about that. But to say, you know, you want to say Wanda and Ron, right? But that's not right. It's Rhonda and Juan. Yeah. All right. I did know what you meant. I was messing with you a little bit there. But thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for God, their unity, God. Show Rhonda and Juan that their unity, how important their unity is. Doesn't mean we always agree on everything about everything. That we all have different ways of looking at things. But even if the different way of looking at things, God, you can bring them unity on how to come to agreement on things in Jesus' name. And sometimes victory is letting the other person win. You know, sometimes the victory thing, sometimes people need to have a few victories under the belt and to be right a few times to get their confidence. And when people get confidence that they're right about some things, then it gives them the confidence to let somebody else be right about things. You know what I'm saying? It's like sometimes God says, you know, give that person the right to be, you know, to be wrong. Even though they're wrong, you're not going to sit there and straighten it all out. You're gonna, okay, I'm giving you I'm going to become unified with you. I don't feel like what you're saying is right. What you want to do is right. But you know what? I'm going to lay aside my mess up and I'm going to come into agreement with you. And, you know, sometimes coming into agreement with somebody about something, when it even is wrong, and you able to give that to them, then they see that see that you gave that to them, and that when they were wrong, they realize you gave me the opportunity and I was wrong. And sometimes what it does, they go like, they willingly start saying, man, I was wrong about that. Maybe I should listen to you a little more often, you know. And so that can go back and forth with marriage couples. So I thank you, Lord, for sometimes we have to allow our children to make mistakes. To let them see, you tell them what they need to do, and then let them do what they want to do. You know, we lovingly tell them, this is what I think you need to be doing, and then we let them make the wrong decision and fail, and be right there with them, and say, no, and you know, saying, okay, honey, you know, we're still with you, we're right here, and so what they do is they grow in the value of love, knowing that you even after they failed, even though you told them they shouldn't do that, and you let them go do it to a certain degree, that when they learn from it, they go, wow, you know, you let me learn. You let me make a mistake, and you're still with me. You're still on my side. And so it causes people to value you more, to appreciate you more, and to look at your wisdom. Because sometimes we just need to let people fail, you know, at something. Let them fail. Let them make mistakes. And when we let them and we still stand there with them and stand beside them, you know, guess what? They start going, man, maybe I should listen to what you have to say more. And it opens them up to, I'm not trying to control you. I'm not trying to boss you around. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm going to let you fail, let you make mistakes, and yet let you know that I'm right there with you. And who knows? I could be wrong. You could be right, and that you become a success in that, then we're rejoicing your success. And so letting people choose to do, tell them what we feel like God's saying or whatever, or what we think is right. And then if they choose to do it, let them do it and stand there and say, okay, I'm right here with you. You know, if they fail, you know, we're right there with them. Right? Yeah. So I see God really teaching you guys how to lay your life down for each other and with each other. Amen. And, yeah. Because sometimes when you let people do what they think they want to do, and you tell them, I don't think we should do that, but if we want to go that way, we can try it. Okay, you want to go that direction, I'll go with you. And then let them realize what they do is wrong. You know, that, you know, it just opens up that thing of you know, you really care about me. You really love me. You're Jesus let Peter fail. He let him deny him. He told him, you're going to deny me. And yet he stood right there. After he rose from the dead, he goes, you know, I love you. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Yes, I love you. Well, you know I love you. And yet he let him fail. And then he says right there and says, and he just went on like, he knew that Jesus telling Peter he was going to fail, and then watching him fail, letting him fail, and then come back and accepting him and telling him, I just need to know, do you love me? I don't really care about your failures, but do you love me? And how love is the main factor in people. And the failure around, like people making mistakes and messing up, and still being there for them, like Jesus was with Peter, amen. That changed his whole life. and he preached the day of Pentecost, and thinking, you know, I failed Jesus. I denied him. And yet he turned around and loved me and accepted me. And it really dug his heart into Jesus at a level that I think had that not happened, he wouldn't have been there as quite as deep as it was. All because Jesus allowed him to fail and still loved him. All right. 404-453. Hang on a second. 404-453. Who am I talking to, please?
It's Madeline from Georgia.
Hi, Madeline. All right, Madeline, good to have you. Madeline, let me take a drink of water here. Amen. Madeline, I see you like driving down the road. And, you know, like you're on your way somewhere, doing something. And God's giving you, like when you're in the driver's seat, when you're the one behind the wheel instead of someone else, you know, what happens with that is you're making all the decisions, you know, where you're like, when I'm riding with somebody, I go like, well, where are we going? I got to go here. I got to go there. I got to go here. And so they're making all the decisions, you know, about how they get there. What's going on. So I see God really showing you, he's going to trust you. He's trusting you. Sometimes we say, oh, God should be in the driver's seat. True. There's a time for that. And then there's a time where God says, okay, now you've seen the way I drive. You've seen how I do things. Now I want you to get in the driver's seat and learn to to follow instructions. Because I tell you what to do, where to go, where to turn. So I see God really training you on how to, listen to the Lord when he says, I'm no longer on the driver's seat. I'm putting you in the driver's seat. I trust you to get us where we're going. I trust you to obey my instructions. And so instead of letting God give all the instructions, God gives you the instructions and is teaching you how to obey his instructions. Because that's the big thing. The Bible talks about be careful how you hear. Because he who hears correctly will be blessed. And God will add more to him, but he who doesn't hear what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. So learning how to listen to God and learn the way he does, learn his ways, the way he does things, he doesn't want to be in the driver's seat. He wants to put you in the driver's seat and you listening to his voice and trusting you to obey. So it's like God is putting you in a place of trusting you. You know, yeah, I'm going to show you how to go. I'm going to show you where to do it. And learning to obey instructions is one of the biggest things, how you hear instructions, how you interpret instructions. You know, you get somebody, give them instructions how to go somewhere, and they get lost 45 times on the way over there, you know, because they don't hear the instructions. So the people who know how to hear right and listen right and obey right, they get there, and instead of 5 hours, they get there in 5 minutes. The other people get lost because they don't know how to obey instructions. So God's opening your ears and showing you how to obey instructions. Like I said, you know, when the children of Israel were on their way, they got instructions. They could have been in the promised land within a few weeks. 40 years later, they still weren't. Why? Because they didn't obey instructions. Right? Yeah. And so God's showing you how to, he's putting you in the driver's seat, showing you that he can trust you with instructions on how to do things. How you hear instructions, how you hear information is everything on how you get where you're going to go. I hope that makes sense. I kind of had a hard time with that one, but I think I got it, I think. Pray for me. I need wisdom. I have to share what I see. All right. 847-239, who I talk to very friendly, please.
Stephanie from Illinois.
Hi, Stephanie. All right, Stephanie. Thank you, Jesus, for Stephanie. You know, that part of you that's kind of stubborn sometimes, stubbornness can be beautiful. It can also be a pain, right? So what God's doing with me, Stephanie, is start taking my stubbornness, you know, my resistance like a donkey, and I sit down and I wouldn't move, I wouldn't budge. Well, he liked that about me. He liked that because once I got stubborn for him, once I decided that, you know, I'm so stubborn, I'm not going to quit until we get it. He goes like, wow, you know, that stubbornness of yours, that used to be like a disobedient donkey, and I turned it into a person who had a strong will, that wasn't going to give up until they got it done. They were so stubborn. But took my stubbornness, you know, and got it yielded to the Holy Spirit. And if people tried to get me to quit doing something, I would never quit. I would never stop. Oh, you're so stubborn. Yeah, I'm going like, yeah. And God's like going, yeah, I like that. I like that part of them that's stubborn like that. Yeah, so I thank you, Jesus, for that. With Stephanie, God, I thank you for those parts of her life, God, that that she sticks with what you give her. And even though people say, oh, you're just being stubborn or whatever, yeah, there's some areas in my life that I can still be stubborn that God is still changing, going like, yeah, you need to change that. That's messing stuff up. And I'm going, okay. And there's other areas where he says when he finally gets me anointed in that area and it gets me to stand strong, no matter what he might. When I get a word from the Lord that everybody else, I've gotten words that were every other prophet that I know of got words just the opposite. And I was the only one who got that one word, right? And God says, you know, are you going to be willing to stand strong? And people say, oh, you're just stubborn. You're just, and then it kind of find out that the word I got was right and the word they got was wrong. Well, you know, and what if I'd have given in? You know what I'm saying? What if I would have given in on that? Yeah, God wouldn't have been, bah. That stubborn thing got back in the wrong direction. But no, you know, it's like I stood. It is by the grace of God. Thank God that you with me. All right. Hang on a second. All right. Okay. Awesome. Great. All right, 903-253. You want to talk to your friend, please? 903-253.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Randy.
Hi.
This is Carla.
Who am I talking to you? Hi, Carla.
Carla, yes.
Okay, Carla, thank you. Gotcha. Thank you very much. All right, Carla, thank you for being with us. Thanks for being patient. We started out at 9, now it's 11:35, my time. I don't know what time it is your time, but thank you, Lord, for the different cycles that Carla goes through, God. I thank you that that the cycles, that there are cycles we go through, and we realize that, you know, sometimes I go through cycles to where, you know, I do a lot of things that are right. And I get in the flow where, you know, like, wow, I don't know what's happening, but everything I do seems to be right now. And then I get in a flow where it seems like everything's fighting me, everything's coming against me. I go, what's going on, God? What happened to all that stuff I'm doing right? I got into a different cycle, but I didn't know what it was at the time. I just thought I rebuked the devil. Or the Lord says, you know, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. I'm trying to get back in that getting everything right thing. He said, well, sometimes you go through cycles where getting the flow of things right, but then get into the cycle where people fight you, where things seem to be rough and harder, and like you get a lot of resistance. He's working patience in me. So I thought, what? Patience? I need patience? Well, obviously you need patience. I'm going, okay. So, you know, he starts showing me all this stuff about patience, and that when I went through seasons that were hard, difficult times, he said, I'm teaching you patience, that when things don't work out as quickly as they were, you know, are you going to be impatient? Are you going to get in the flesh? You're going to start rebuking the devil and have nothing to do with the devil? You're going to start trying to, you know, take it over and do it on your own? I'm going like, yeah, that's not what I want. I want you to yield the difficult times to me. Yield them to me. Let me work with you. Let me give you patience. Let me give you, you know, so sometimes when everything's going right, it's like, man, ain't nothing like this. We're going real fast. Everything's good. Yeah, getting there. I'm having a blast. The Lord goes, yeah, those blast times are good. I give you those times. But there's also times when it's difficult. So it's different cycles that you get into. And I've been in cycles to where, you know, decisions that I made seem to be all right. And then sometimes decisions that I made seem to be wrong. Like, what's going on with that? I want you to depend on me. Sometimes you get, you know, where you don't depend on me, you just, you know, so sometimes things become harder and more difficult to find success in something or the blessing of this. Why is that? Because he said, I want you to seek me more. I want you to find me. I'm hiding from you in these areas. I want you to try to find me. And so, you know, I would have to look harder, and I would have to take more time, and I would have to be more sensitive. So different cycles at different times, different things. In learning what the cycle and purpose of those cycles are, that they're there to help you grow, to become, make you patient. Other times when everything's going really good, it's like giving you that sense of victory, walking in victory, knowing you can have the victory. And then when you don't feel like you have the victory, it's like, okay, I've got a taste of victory, so I'm going to keep doing this thing, being patient, being until I get the victory, right? So, yeah, so the cycles are extremely important. All right, 612-805, who am I talking with from, please?
Bless you, Randy. This is Joyce from Minnesota.
Oh, bless you, too. Thank you, Joyce. All right, bless you. Thank you very much. Thank you, God, for the blessing, Father. For the place in Joyce's heart, God, where she finds that desire to love and to be kind and be friendly and to reveal the nature of Jesus. You know, God has a side of Him that, you know, wonderful and joyful and happy and, like, you know, and then there's a side of God that He's going, like, you know. Like Jesus, when He went into the temple and drove out the money changers, He was not very happy when He went and did that. But some people think that was like He was like sinning or something when He did that. But Jesus never sinned. But He had that thing where, you know, so God's showing you that there's times when you get a whip when we drive out things. And that's just as much as God as it is when, you know, when you got a little child in your lap and you're, you know, just smiling, laughing, telling all the disciples, you know, hey, let these little children come in. You know, so all the different characteristics that you have, we think that we're always supposed to be peaceful. And sometimes when things aren't peaceful, sometimes God is stirring it up or it's not peaceful. Why? But so we can go, like, what's going on, God? What's happening? And then we start looking for answers. Okay, God, is somebody in trouble? Am I doing something wrong? Is somebody else doing something wrong? What do you want to do? What do you want to pray? So we start questioning and looking and searching and we start looking for answers. Well, that's it. That's just God, because sometimes something is messed up, something is wrong, and He ain't got anybody else that everybody else would just ignore those feelings. Well, I'm not going to get. I refuse to be confused. I refuse to feel, you know, unhappy. I refuse to feel these things. I will not feel these negative feelings. Sometimes feeling negative feelings, if we're picking up something from somebody else. And they need a little help. I've had it done to me many times. You know, sometimes I would even know who it was. I'm feeling like I'm having a great day. I've told this story before many times that I used to work at a dental lab many, many years ago, back in the 82. And I was sitting there doing my job, right? And all of a sudden I felt like overwhelmed. I felt like giving up. I felt like quitting. I'm going like, you know, it was so obvious. I was like, what happened? I was feeling great 5 minutes ago. Something wrong. I didn't know what it was. And by the grace of God, He showed me this lady named Linda. Her and her husband were friends of ours. And I saw that, you know, and I realized she was feeling what I was feeling. So I thought, I'm going to try. So I called her up right there on the job. I got on the job. I'm not supposed to make phone calls on the job, but I did it anyway. So I called her and I said, hey, Linda, this is Randy. Are you? She says, oh, I'm feeling. I said, don't tell me how you're feeling. Let me tell you how you're feeling. And I told her exactly how she was going to feel, like giving up, feel like quitting, feel like, you know, giving up on life. And I said, is that how you feel? She said, that's exactly how I feel. How did you know that? I said, I just sat in there and God showed it to me. She said, wow. So I said, go to the park and pray and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You know, that was my word to her. But I wasn't, and I was feeling fine. I'm an upbeat person, right? All of a sudden I was feeling like negative and down. What's going on? So we sometimes, if I'd rebuked that and said, commanded that to go away from me, thinking it was like a harassment from a demon or spirit. No, that was God connecting me to somebody, Joyce. He's trying to say, hey, there's somebody hurting, somebody in need. So God really going to show you how to, you know, when you're having different feelings, that it's not always, sometimes it just might be you having, the enemy might be attacking you. Of course, that can be a truth. But God's showing you the difference between that and when somebody else is in pain and suffering and asking God who it is. Sometimes you'll know who it is, sometimes you won't. Sometimes it doesn't really matter. But except in that case, I knew I could call, right? So I got up and I called. Other times, many times, I don't know who it is. I just pray and I say, God, whoever this is, it's been like this. Help him, Jesus. And so when every time God uses me like that, he would bless me, man. He would reward me. He said, man, I got somebody that'll let me show them, you know, suffering and pain, or somebody else, put it on me when I'm having a good day. And then I know who it is, and I go call them, encourage them, build them up. And Jesus goes, good boy, Randy. You're a good boy. Good job, Chandler. You're doing a really great job. And so, you know, and I began to, you know, I don't always do it right. I'm sure many times I messed up, and I'm, you know, I rebuke the devil. Again, I'm not going to feel like that. I refuse to feel down. You know, I'm sure I still do that at times, but I've learned, you know, that not always my feelings are always mine. Sometimes they're God letting me feel somebody else. And it's temporary. You don't actually have that thing on you, but it's a temporary connection that you can pray through. And so I thank you, Lord, for that prayer anointing on Joyce, God, that ability to feel others and feel what God's feeling and feel what's going on. And then she'll know how to pray it through and believe God to help the person, whoever's hurting anyone and going through those difficult times. Bless her, Jesus. Strengthen her. Bless her baby dolls, her children, God, her grandchildren, their sweet babies. In Jesus' name, anoint them with pleasure and laughter and joy and fun. In Jesus' name, let them know the voice of Jesus and rejoice and sing songs to the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all. Wow, it's been a great night tonight. All right, those of you who fell asleep, I minister to you anyway, even though you didn't answer your phone. All right, we always try to do that if we can. All right, because we love to pray for people. Love it, love it, love it. It's a blast. All right, that was my last caller tonight. Thank you, Joyce, for being with us from Minnesota. Good to have you. And other you guys don't have, no, you're going to take. All right. Okay. One second. All right. Hey, 804-218. Am I talking to you something?
It's Angie. I'm in Georgia.
Oh, in Georgia. All right. Good.
Georgia.
All right. Sing those songs, girl. Worship the Lord. All right. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Jesus, for people texting me here. Hang on a second. Okay. All right, Rhonda, sorry, I missed your Nelson prayer. I'm going to pray. All right, Angie, I'm going to pray for Nelson real quick. Hang on just a minute. Rhonda's brother named Nelson. Thank you, Rhonda, for letting me know about that. Sorry, I almost missed that, but I got it now. All right, thank you for letting me know. Thank you, Lord, for Nelson, God. We pray for Nelson, God, that you encourage Nelson. You bring people to encourage him, to put in his eyes. You can see that failure sometimes can be a blessing. Sometimes what seems like failure, we're a failure in certain things. People may think, oh, you never feel a failure. You always feel like a success, but yet sometimes in Nelson's heart knows that he failed at certain things. He wish he'd done better. God, I show you that. Ask you to show Nelson, God, how to be successful and you know, and knowing that when you're not successful, when you feel like a failure, but sometimes the times I feel like the most failure, the enemy was trying to get me down because I was fixing to break through. And so he would make me start feeling like you're a failure, you ain't going nowhere, you ain't going to anything. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh my God, I look back at it later and go, man, right after that I had a breakthrough. Like, I was right on the verge of a breakthrough. And I don't know why I felt like that. I want to say the devil about everything, but it's like I felt so, I just almost gave up on stuff, you know. And then, you know, somehow or another, by the grace of God, that feeling like a failure, feeling like it was if I'd have been knowing, it was a sign that I was about to break through onto the other side. So I thank you, Lord, for Nelson, that he would break through on the other side and begin to realize that you're with him, you're willing to train him and show him, you know, that sometimes our feelings can deceive us. The enemy tries to get us to give up on things right before we're going to break through, right before we're going to get the victory.
I thank you, Lord, for the victory. And now I ask you to give him strength to stand still and be strong in the Lord and not give up. God, that your love for, you love to see people break through. Sometimes like Joseph, you know, was accused of a woman of trying to do something that he didn't do, got put in jail over it. That was injustice. That was not success in the natural realm, but yet God was still getting him where he wanted him. Well, sometimes because we go through struggles doesn't mean we're not going where God wants us to go, right? Yeah. So just know that. Just keep giving him courage, God, and strength to do the right thing at the right time with the right people. Amen. All right. Okay, never mind. I already got Angie. Here. All right, Angie, I got you. She's in Georgia. All right, sweet Georgia Brown. Oh, yeah, sweet Georgia Brown. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for Georgia. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the anointing on my sister, God, to bring joy to Georgia. God, to bring liberty and freedom to Georgia. God, to sing, to get the trees singing, make the earth happy in Georgia, where, the atmosphere, it changed the atmosphere, where all of a sudden the trees were sad. The trees that were sad, now the trees are glad. You know, now they're gonna do that. Just when the earth begins to rejoice, there's something about getting the earth to rejoice that causes like an atmosphere. When the atmosphere changes around you, sometimes it's because the ground around you, the grieving, the sorrow, the pain of it has is instead of releasing grieving and pain and sorrow in the atmosphere, it releases joy and rejoicing and freedom. So I thank you, Lord, for showing her that everywhere she goes, God, she's there to. Get the earth to rejoice, because that's what creates an atmosphere of rejoicing and of happiness and freedom. In Jesus' name, God, give Angie that understanding, God, that you're wherever the soles of her feet tread, wherever her cars tread, her treads tread, God, that her treads tread, all four treads treading, that it's there to free even the land, even the ground, so the earth rejoices. But the people will go, man, something changed in the atmosphere. What happened? Yeah. Oh, now the atmosphere's changed. We can enter into praise. We can enter into the presence of God. We can be healed. We can be free. Yeah, because the atmosphere changes. But wherever the treads of her tires go, God, let that be put under her in Jesus' name and bring victory and joy in the name, and create a different atmosphere. Amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. You were walking to a church, and all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed. I mean, you ever been on a property somewhere, and all of a sudden, the atmosphere changed? I have. I don't know if it just changed inside of me or what was going on, but I felt atmospheres change on land and property before. I don't know what was going on, but it makes you feel. It's like when the land is happy and free. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8, it groans and travails. When it's not groaning and travailing, but it's happy and free. There's something about it. Everything's just different. Everything's better. Everything's nice. Everything's, wow, this is cool. So, and it opens up the door for people to, thank God. The most natural realm, Jesus taught a lot about the earth and how the earth was created by God, and he would use the things of the earth to open up people's eyes to God, right? So the earth and God, the things of the atmosphere, the ground, the dirt, the trees, it all, God made it all, and so somehow there's a connection there with that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Open that up. Open up your presence, God. Let it be about your presence. Everything's about your presence. When your presence is around, everything around you gets happy. Everything around you gets free. So, amen. The Freedom Girl. Going through Georgia, bless her, God, meet her needs. God, give her the right songs to sing, the right words, the right scripture, God, let her connect with people that not only need Jesus, but just need love. Amen. The love realm. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all. Thank God. Thank you for letting us know that you're there. Wow. Praise God. Pray for Angie. She's just decided. She felt like she wanted to go out and just do some traveling. Just go for Jesus. I just thought that was pretty cool, actually. I'm jealous almost, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, bless her, God, and bless her trip. Let her just touch people. Let her to a whole other anointing, God, a whole other the promised land. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all, that was my last caller tonight. Thank you, Angie, for checking in. Pray for her as she travels out. God blesses her. And maybe she'll come by and see you. All right. All right. Good night, everybody. I think that's it. It's 11:53. Been at it for a while now. It's been kind of fun. Hallelujah. God is good. Jesus is good. Amen. Sing those songs. Worship the Lord. Let the trees sing. The trees like to sing. Isn't that cool? Let the trees clap their hands. So must in heaven, I guess, maybe they like to clap their hands too. So we need to get around the trees and hug them. Yeah, hug a tree. Nothing wrong with that. And let it start singing and clapping its hands. Amen. All right, y'all, I'm going to head out tonight. Thank you very much. It's been a great night. God bless you. We will see you guys tomorrow. Thank you so much.